Call this meeting to order and could we have a roll call, please?
Fox.
Here.
Johnston.
Here.
Benz.
Here.
Jensen.
Here.
Johnson.
Here.
All right, we have a quorum. We move on to the agenda. Any errors or anything? Hearing none, I would call for approval. I got all those. It's been moved.
I'll second.
And seconded that we approve the agenda. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? Okay. Been approved. Any errors in the minutes? Any additions? Hearing none, I would entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
I so moved to approve the minutes.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve the minutes. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? Minutes. Okay, we move on to item five on the public comment. This is the time for members of the public to offer comments concerning matters not scheduled to be heard before the Planning and Zoning Commission. Those items not on the agenda. Yes. Could you come up to the podium and list your name? I think we're going to the podium.
Yeah.
And speak clearly and tell us your name and your address, please. The public record.
I'm Bill S. Evelyn, 3108 South Dakota Avenue in Ames. And I have several questions that regard the procedure that is to follow or what is going to happen with the Ames River Fringe Plan. I don't have questions on the plan. I have questions on the procedure. So that's why I'm thinking maybe this is the time for these questions. I'm not asking about, well, why is this over here and why is that? I'm not asking
that. I'm not sure I'm able to answer questions, but I'm able to hear your comments.
Okay.
And we'll probably address them as the agenda progresses.
Very good. My first is, would like to, I'd like to know when, going forward from this point on, there's going to be public input and comment. I'd like to know when that's going to happen. I don't know if you can answer that now or not. I would also like to know, after this body, the Planning and Zoning, approves a draft, and it goes on to the Board of Supervisors. If the Board of Supervisors makes revisions, have questions, whatever, does the document come back to Planning and Zoning, or does it at that point go forward on to the other cooperators? Is that, I'd like to know what the procedure is. Okay, the next question is, let's see, will the draft plan approved by the Story County Board of Supervisors also be shared with Gilbert, the City of Gilbert? I know they're one of the cooperators. I know Ames is involved. At what point does Gilbert, the City of Gilbert, have their input or say or whatever? The next question is, will the county residents have an opportunity for input and comment before the document goes to the Ames City Council? Since county rural residents is the group most impacted by this plan, I feel that their voices should be shared before the document is finalized and thus approved by the cooperators. The next thing that I'd like to ask is, has the City of Gilbert contributed any new recent input to the Story County Planning and Zoning Committee or the Board of Supervisors to date. That is of today, not this letter that came a while ago from their city mayor, I believe. And one, does the draft plan become a final document? When does that come out? So I have these questions, and I'd like to give a copy to the chair or whoever.
Thank you.
What can I do? Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments.
This was, I think, kind of brought up at the end of the last meeting about maybe getting clarification on not being allowed to have direct contact via phone, email with commissioners. Is that something that's in the Iowa code?
Thank you. Moving on to old business, 6.1, and I will summarize how we're going to approach this area. We are going to have public comment after the staff presentation. I'm going to limit it because of the length of the meeting to make it reasonable. So it will be limited to 2 minutes per person, and we won't see minutes to another person. You can have someone else continue. And when we get to that point, in the interest of everyone's time, if you are going up to support something someone else has said without any new comments, if you could just sum it up as you support that. If it isn't new information, that would be helpful. So now, we'll move on to the urban fringe discussion. And Amelia, could you answer any of those questions as far as the problem?
Actually, it's slide one.
Okay. Excellent.
Good question. So we, tonight, from your last meeting, what's going on is we're reviewing the public comments on the draft plan, and we're recommending changes to board supervisors based on those comments. You've got staff's recommendations before you. You know, those were, again, informed by the public comments we collected. There were a lot. We appreciate everybody's comments. Also informed by our discussion last time. There's some additional recommendations, alternatives brought up by you all and the public again. So we appreciate their engagement in this process. So, again, you're recommending changes to the plan. How that will look is we'll plug it into a letter eventually, right? The Board of Supervisors will be taking action on sending a letter outlining changes to the other cooperators. Those other cooperators will receive the letter, review it, review the public comments as well, determine if they concur with our changes or want to propose other changes, and likely send us letters back from their official city councils. We, as staff, will work through issue areas or potentially call a work session with the cooperators to work through areas where, you know, staff isn't able to come up with resolution. We will then have a draft. County staff will take on the draft plan, putting the changes in that we've agreed to, and then Ames and Gilbert get that at the same time. We review it, and then if it looks okay to everybody, the county will go first in starting public hearings you all, planning zoning commission, again, you make a recommendation on the final plan to the board supervisors. They make any changes to the letter, to the recommendations you're proposing for the letter tonight, or that plan, it doesn't come back to you all. It would just move on to the other cooperators once they've taken action. Let's see. And the draft plan would be approved after public hearing actions by the cooperators on those. So after we all have public hearings of the planning and zoning commission or supervisors for citizens.
So the next time it comes back here would be for the public hearings?
Yep. After
the final draft.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yep. I would anticipate the process of getting our letters to the other cooperators, working through issue areas, having staff actually draft a plan. So again, tonight we're reviewing public comments. We group them by issue area. There's recommendations on what changes to make based on those public comments. And we'll be putting together those recommended changes in a letter after Board of Supervisors takes action on them to send to the other cooperators. So you're not taking action on approving a plan tonight. It's just recommended changes to that. Questions on the process?
And Gilbert is one of the cooperators.
Yep, so they get the, when we send a letter, I send it to them at the same time to the Gilbert Council and the City Council.
And how about the county residents have input before it goes? Will that be in the public hearings for the county?
Yep, those are the public hearings. And so the county, again, will go first on having public hearings. Yep.
So do they get that before it goes to the city and Gilbert, the names?
This plan draft?
The county.
Yeah, county.
For the county residents. County residents.
No. The public hearings happen with the county first.
Okay.
Is that what you're asking?
Yes, before they go to Ames and Gilbert.
Yeah, we'll likely send them a draft, so the final draft, just to say, here's the changes we all discussed. You can see they're in there. Any other issues we thought of? That kind of thing. Okay.
And we have somebody should ask me. As that county resident, when do we have public hearing? Say a couple months.
Yep, and we'll be sending notification to the residents of the planning area again with those dates.
Sorry to tell.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Okay. All right, so I'm going to start discussing the first, we're calling them issue areas, but they're areas where we received most of, there's some issues of where most of the comments fell on different issue areas, right? So the first one, at your previous meeting, we broke out into different parts, but I've kind of put it together here in this urban reserve issue area. And so the urban reserve overlay is an area around the city of Ames where it's not their priority for growth during the life of this plan, but with infrastructure deployment in those areas, if they could be suitable for annexation in the future, so we need to be conscious and transparent about that when we're doing plans. They are restrictions on rural development that's proposed, so rural subdivisions in those areas. It is a designation from the Ames Plan 2040, which is their comprehensive plan. Policies in the 2040 plan are already in place that would limit rural subdivisions and divisions for new development lots. So if we didn't have a fringe plan, those provisions would still apply. I would point out that in the Ames there are fringe plan drafts, and with the recommendations we're about to go through, what we've done is come up with more specific policies to allow reductions in lot sizes. So for instance, you know, Kathy's son can build on a house on a smaller parcel of land versus the whole 35 acres. Right? Remember that, Kathy? which would make it, you know, more accessible. We don't have a lot of allowances for acreages in the current plan, and so we are opening up more exceptions to allow acreages in this area and allowing reductions in lot sizes, which will help folks get better loans and make it more accessible for folks to live on an acreage, but also will have limitations on larger subdivisions with multiple lots. Again, in the draft plan, annexation is proposed to be allowed if there's infrastructure available in these areas. We're going to get into the recommendations on that. I just wanted to point out, just because annexation is allowed in this designation, no one's automatically getting annexed to the process they have to request. And so the main comments were that this is too large of an area. There's too much urban reserve. And specifically, there's concerns about including Southwest Ames. Marcus and I are both trying to do PowerPoint at once. Sorry. Southwest Ames, which is circled here. This includes Iowa State land. You know, we're not trying to redevelop Iowa State land. We're just trying to have a future land use plan that shows if the opportunity arose for city growth in those areas, or hey, Iowa State does some more facilities down there and needs city sewer, there's a possibility for annexation. And then the other area is the area between 180th and 190th Streets, so that's north of Ames and south of Gilbert. And the most common cities in this area were that they wanted to leave it as open space, no city growth here. We did also, you know, obviously this is an urban reserve area from Ames' 2040 plan, but Gilbert did also send a letter that they would also be interested in annexing this area. I know we discussed all that last time. So I'm going to go through the recommendations for the broader urban reserve area. And feel free to ask me questions on it, please. So what staff is recommending is reducing the amount of annexable area in the urban reserve. So that could include Iowa State land. It could include some of the area between 180th and 190th Streets. Those are specific recommendations, but what it would allow is for us to work with the other cooperators to really come up with some metrics or other review criteria for when annexation is appropriate and what should be shown as annexable in this one. I'll skip down to option E real quick. That option is making more specific recommendations this evening about what areas should be annexable. That came up last time. I think we need more information if we're going to do that, and I would request, again, being able to work with other cooperators to learn more about, you know, their plans for sewer and water in those areas, long-term transportation issues, come up with some sort of rubric or matrix to present to you about, you know, how we're weighing these areas against each other rather than just, you know, cutting something out of the annexable. However, another option could be recommending that we remove the ability to annex the urban reserve at all. So it's still a designation that provides transparency and restrictions on rural development, but annexation would not be allowed unless someone requested to amend the fringe plan to a designation that allowed annexation. So that's option B. Does that make sense?
These kind of amendments, do they happen?
Yeah.
Yep. It's a routine.
Pretty common. Yep. We've seen a lot recently, especially as our current fringe plan gets to the end of its life. You know, we've seen more and more requests for amendments to allow annexation. I think a really good example would be there was one recently on Dayton Avenue across from the USDA. it was an area that there was sewer basically available to the site. Some industrial development was proposed, which made sense because Ames had run out of industrial lots almost since it had adopted its previous comprehensive plan. And so there was a request to amend it from agriculture park service to urban growth to allow cancellation.
So what does the amendment process look like?
Yeah.
I mean, is it lengthy? Is it?
Yep. It takes a few months. Each cooperator, if you're in an area that's in Gilbert's 2 miles sphere of influence right now, all three cooperators have to approve an amendment if you're that request.
Amelia, is there anything listed about LEPA, the land evaluation and site assessment, and the CSR, crop sustainability rating? Is there anything in this that will talk about taking our farmland and turning it into subdivisions, acreages, taking it out of production? Is there anything in the policy about?
Not right now. But if you want to recommend we work just kind of generally to reduce the amount of annexable area and wanted us to look at, CSR is what I would recommend.
CSR.
Mm-hmm. Our LEPA score system does reduce points for being near urban areas.
Mm-hmm.
So most of the LEPA scores in the 2 mile radius of Ames and Gilbert are lower because of that. So the LEPA score balances farmability versus development potential.
Right.
So if you want just a pure how farmable, what's the productivity of this land, CSR would be a better choice for us.
So would you put in like CSR anything under 60 CSR? I mean, if it's 80, 90% CSR ground,
yeah,
it should be farmed?
We should also, if you want to go that direction, you know, take into account how jagged the pattern that creates. So we're looking at 40 acre pieces with CSR, and that's our only criteria. I mean, purpose of land has to touch the city to be annexed. My concern is we have probably want smoother boundaries to kind of cluster high value, unfragmented lands together, but also acknowledge.
I mean, if you have an 8792 CSR ground, we all would like to eat.
Yeah. So that's a recommendation you can make under A or E.
Can you provide us again how annexation works, how the county, like what the county's role is in that compared to state and individual landowners?
So the county's role under state code is that when an annexation is proposed, it is routed to us for comment. And we review it for conformance with our comprehensive plan and let the city council know if we support the annexation request or not.
So the process is started by landowners?
Yes, requesting the annexation.
With the state and the
with the city.
With the city.
Yep, and then certain annexations do go to the state board as well for further review. If they include non-consenting property owners or they're within 2 miles of another city.
So what's the purpose of it? Restricting annexation areas or having an annexation map is to have it in our plan, I guess. So
to, yeah, show, controls. Yeah, to map.
What does it look like currently
in the plan? We allow annexations in urban service areas, which is very similar to our urban growth areas. And otherwise, if you're in natural service or another designation, you need to go through an amendment process seeking annexation. But we believe the language states that cities agree to annex in conformance with our plan. But option D on this sheet and on the PowerPoint is to keep all areas in the urban reserve as annexable to maintain that flexibility as well. That was something I think you brought up last time, Ben.
Is there any thing listed about the amount of land that's already annexed that's not built on yet, so that we can stop the sprawl that I am seeing out in the rural areas. For example, with the Auburn Trail, Hayden Prairie, Hayden Preserve, Hayden Quarries, they're all moving north. And those on the west side of Pride haven't been built yet. Those are a lot of lots, 300. So if we do that, that all urban reserve is annexable, but the other things aren't even built yet, but we're continuing to allow it, that's going to stretch the city, the city's infrastructure, or the whoever's putting in the water and the, and it's for all.
So again, we have specific policies about why annexation is appropriate. So we can structure the
and as part of that, do you take an effect into account those lots that haven't been built on yet? How many lots are actually available without having to get out more? You understand what I'm saying? So if there's 200 that haven't been built yet, but the city wants to annex another, let's say, 80 acres that could put in another 42-acre lots, 200 haven't been built in.
Yeah, I
need a,
my recommendation would be these policies that we're recommending are for when the county reviews an annexation request. I think we need to frame if we're going to add any policies about when annexation is appropriate in terms of what the county would review rather than the city.
I mean, the city.
So if you're asking Ames to
not look there.
But again, you know, option B is to remove the ability to annex of any of the urban reserve unless we go through an amendment process.
Has there been a situation where City of Ames has wanted to annex and the county said, we do not recommend it, and the city said, okay, it has happened?
Yeah, I mean, that's why we have a fringe plan, because, for instance, the property, the Dave Nathan property, right? We said, hey, that's not in an area the city has planned to manage in. In the current Ames Urban Fringe. So we went through an amendment process. We reviewed it against our CTC comprehensive plan amendment standards to say, yeah, we agree that this is appropriate to change it and allow annexation. So not necessarily saying no, because we do have, we've got agreed upon policies about where annexation is appropriate and when it's appropriate. And if you don't meet those policies, and Ames or Gilbert would like to annex a piece of land, they have to amend the plan and go through a larger process to allow that to happen. If with other cities where we don't have these plans and agreed upon policies, the county has said, no, this doesn't conform with our CTC comprehensive plan, and typically that is annexed anyway.
So do most cities have a fringe plan?
Okay. No, this is the only one we have.
But like other counties.
Yeah.
So essentially what you're saying is it actually gives the county more oversight on annexation.
Yes. Right. So having an urban reserve gives us more oversight on annexations, yes. And so with that, you have to determine if you'd like to allow some annexations, meaning in all of the urban reserve, just portions of the urban reserve, or no annexations in the urban reserve. Those are the main choices. The option F would be completely removing the urban reserve overlay designation from the plan and mapping it all at Agriculture and Farm Service.
What's the ramifications of that, I guess?
That wouldn't allow annexation. I have a comparison chart of those two designations. So in the Ag-Town Service is on the right, Urban Reserve Overlay is on the left. So in Ag-Town Service, annexations are not permitted. You have to go through an amendment process. Reduction in lot sizes, there's not a difference between those two designations. Can't create new lots, we're not proposing that, but you could reduce the size of your lots. Conditional use permits, there aren't limitations proposed on those in Ag Farm Service. Compatible zoning districts are pretty much the same, except with allowances for some agribusiness uses in agriculture and farm service designation. I think the biggest difference is that when you're requesting an amendment to site a new rural subdivision in the urban reserve overlay, that process is going to require you to request to remove that overlay and work with the city to make sure it's not in conflict with their plans first. And you don't have that in Ag-Farm Service because those are areas that the cities have agreed to waive their review authority. They don't see ever going into.
So smaller and smaller lot sizes, housing development essentially without being a part of camp.
That's the main difference between the urban reserve overlay, yes, is that there's more restrictions on rural subdivisions. So we're talking, more than one lot for a new house, right? Multiple lots of plans to development. I think the other part of this that I would bring up is the urban reserve is an adopted portion of ACES 2040 plan. And so we have to work through that recommendation with them. If you're saying we don't want any urban reserve mapping in the fringe plan, we will have to come to some sort of resolution with them on how to make that work. So we might need to have a facilitated work session or something otherwise to try to come to an agreement that is an adopted designation of policy they already have in the city.
Delia, if this reduces the amount of land that's in the urban fringe, nothing was listed about the east side of I-80, because there's quite a bit, correct? Not I-80, I-35.
Yes.
There's a lot of land around that section.
Right. And so under option A, so that is an area that staff would look at, for sure.
And that would reduce the price more.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Yeah. So A recommends reducing between 180th and 190th streets from basically the railroad tracks to Highway 69. Can you all envision that?
Yes.
So this is the railroad track over to 69. It would be reduced to disallow annexation in this area. Which is half.
We don't have to group that, right?
You no, no.
Yeah.
No.
We could just say the whole section.
Yep.
Not from the railroads on to the east. Just that whole section as a buffer.
That would probably best fall under option B, though. Removing the ability to annex the urban reserve.
And then something could be said about the land that is east of
I think five. That would be part of it. Yeah, that's urban reserve right now. And so if you went with option B, that would not be considered annexable if that was the final, if that makes this the final plan. Yeah, that's how that comes. Mm-hmm.
In this plan, is it for the next 10 years, next 20 years?
I want to get it right.
Yeah.
10 with an option
for five renewals.
Yeah.
10 with renewals.
With a renewal of five.
10 with renewal of five. So we're not talking about life here. We're just talking for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
And the option means how hard is it to take that option?
To renew?
Yeah.
We did that with the current plan. I We have renewed again at this point.
It's a fairly quick process. So.
Renewal is, yeah, amendment is late.
Okay. But in the last 10 years, there's a lot of land been taken. Farm ground.
Other recommendations related to this area, these aren't really alternatives to what we discussed, heritage. So we would also recommend adding a policy that the county, if we allow annexation of the urban reserve overlay or urban growth area through this plan, we're not agreeing to their annexation. We're stating, yes, and in the plan, annexate cities should annexate conformance with the plan, either in areas that are identified as potentially annexable, but the county still gets to review that. We want to make that clear. We add a policy that annexation of properties in the urban reserve should be weighed against the urban growth areas development. Urban growth areas are a different plan designation that are a priority for annexation based on more of the serviceability by a city. And then we also recommend the City of Gilbert's comprehensive plan does extend north to 170th. I'm sorry, the current user restriction plan cuts off at 170th for Gilbert's urban growth area, but they're comprehensive and a half mile north of that. So it does create some confusion when we get requests in north of 170th about the process to follow in terms of who takes the review authority in that review. So we would just like to recommend we extend that north. So that all areas shown in Gilbert's comprehensive plan have the same review process for them. So any other questions on the alternatives for annexing the urban reserve, annexation to the urban reserve, A through F? And what we're going to do at the end is take individual motions on each of these, and then you can discuss them. And I will have all these slides at the end, too.
So we'll have time to discuss this before motion's made.
You're going to make a motion and set it and then discuss it.
Yeah, we can ask questions now, and we'll listen to the public. But the proper procedure is to have a motion on the floor and then have discussion. But that can be amended, or it could not go, and then another motion can be made.
We have a conversation now about what people would like from this or not. Wait
until the it might be more appropriate then, because we'll have more public comment on it then. This is more a period to really get all this information processed, and we'll have more of that outright discussion later.
Okay, so now we're going to move on to discuss urban growth areas and a specific one. So the urban growth designation is one that shows more immediate serviceability priorities for if development of a parcel is proposed, a city in Sir Gilbert would like that to be annexed prior to development occurring because of infrastructure availability in that area. In the draft plan, there is a property. And that has infrastructure available to it. City would need to extend, but if it was developed, the developer could extend the site to serve the site. So that's why it's mapped as urban growth area in the plan. However, due to its position, if it was annexed, it would effectively draw a rural subdivision area and other acreages to its east. connects the Meadowland area is what I'm referring to. There's a Meadowland Road there, but it involves different subdivisions and spaces. So most of the comments received were that Meadowland shouldn't be mapped in this designation because it's an existing growth subdivision, which, you know, following staff recommendations, yes, we agree, it is an existing rural subdivision. It was just mapped this way to not be an impediment to meeting state requirements for how the annexation is part of the figure if one were ever proposed of the Champlin property. We did reach out to the current owner, and they're just interested in building one single-family home on each of the three parcels at this point. They don't have plans for development, but it is, you know, a future land use plan, so if that changed, it's showing that there's infrastructure pretty available, and it would be an opportunity for city growth, more so than rural growth.
Or your red markers, is that South Dakota?
No, this is.
That's South Dakota. So the blue that your marker was at, is
yeah.
that state?
No, it's a quarter line. It's like a section line. It's like a parcel line.
So it's not State
it's
Avenue.
It's not.
So State Avenue is that one.
Yeah.
Okay, and six,
make
South Dakota, six.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's a partial division. It's not a road. There's not a road that goes through that, correct? It might be, but maybe a fence or...
Yeah, dark more does dissect it.
You're saying that that is, it has, it's able to be, have city sewer, it's able to be
yeah.
made into a lot.
So,
not that it's going to be.
No, but basically what the plan is saying is we recognize this area is more serviceable than the rest of the Southwest area because there is capacity in the sewer and water available here. This might actually extend it to some development.
And the shaded area is more aligned, correct? Where the curse, right?
Yep, and then there's a tributary as well.
Right there. There's
okay. Tributaries. So what staff recommended is we could map the Meadowland area as rural residential existing, which is which is a land use designation that allows property owners more flexibility in changing their boundaries or creating another lot if they're existing subdivision, but still allowing annexation. So A is doing that through an annexable land map. B is just doing that through a policy that basically recognizes that certain properties, while not designated as urban growth or urban reserve, nor intended for redevelopment and city growth, may need to be annexed to create more uniform city boundaries, efficient service delivery, and meet state law requirements for the configuration annexation. C would be designating it as rural residential existing, but reducing, but mapping the Champlin Farms property to the what's left as urban reserve instead of urban growth. I think that was thrown out by Debbie last time. That's kind of a downgrade priority for annexation of that property, but really wouldn't change much since there is infrastructure. D is designating the property as existing rural residential and designating the property to Champlin Farms property next door as agricultural service, not allowed with annexation. And then E was brought up by public comment. There was discussion of could we have a policy specific to that area to configure the annexation so that it wouldn't be an island if it were annexed, maintaining a 50-foot strip basically out to the county. Staff's concern on that is the appropriateness of that specific the design policy and plan, and then what happens when 30, 40 years, if there's other development in the Southwest, do we maintain that 50-foot strip into Boone County? You know, how does that functionally work?
your option A of the secondary map, because it's ruled residential existing, then we would say that we would not support
annexes. We don't. I don't want to recommend a policy that would be an impediment to maybe state law or. So if you want to prevent annexation of the area, option D would be the best option, which would be mapping the property next to it as ad hoc service, which would prevent that property annexation. But given the infrastructure available at the site, that wasn't staff's recommendation.
That would be urban growth, urban growth decided. If it became urban growth, what's the issue with that?
If Meadowland was mapped as urban growth, there's just greater restrictions on divisions of land. So if somebody wanted to do, you know, there's some large lots in the area. Somebody wanted to create a second lot annexation, of course, would be required. And that would give names the review authority in that designation rather than the county to allow county line adjustments or lot splits.
And if it kept urban reserve, then the county would have look it over right to the city. But because it's within that 2 miles.
The Champlin property or the Meadowland property? So if Meadowland were urban reserve, there'd be allowances for parcel line adjustments, changing boundaries. There wouldn't be, we have written a specific policy to allow additional divisions in the urban reserve, so that would be a restriction. You just came up with option F. But really breaking these down, I think the main question before the commission is, if the Champlin Farms property is to be annexed or not prior to development, right? And so from there, if you think it's not, that would be option D, ad hoc service. If you think it should be annexed prior to development, that would be A or B. Or C, but probably A or B. And then the difference between A and B is A requires a separate map, which might create, it would be more complicated. And then B would be a policy, just a simple policy that says we recognize there are state laws regarding annexation that we're not trying to prevent to be met through this plan. So again, even though it's not designated as an annexable area, if we need to annex it because we need to meet state law requirements for the configuration of annexation as well.
Can we amend how rural residential existing is that talks to annexation with exception, say, unless annexation routed doesn't allow to conform to the
yeah,
code?
That's B. Yeah.
That is B?
Yeah. But B would be a little bit more broad, so if we ever encounter a situation where a property was ag farm service and it's a similar island situation, that would apply to that too.
Have you heard anything back from Champlin Farms with the
Marcus?
The owner of those properties spoke with them. They have no intention right now of doing anything but putting a single family on each one. So that's as far as what we intend. One of them is already constructed and they're living in that one. The other one, we haven't gotten zoning permits for it yet, but they have, you know, came in and we've talked to them about what that looks like.
They haven't reached out and made any public comment yet that we could make.
All about this?
No.
No.
That we as commissioners should read about what if what they
no.
No, because their plan is to just put a single bit of the law in the so
this whole world, but they tell you they haven't told us.
So the big issue is not really the agricultural use, even though the word agriculture is in there. It's whether the housing development is annexed or not. Future housing development is annexed or not.
Between Ag Farm Service and Urban Growth, you mean?
There's no intention, though, of like passing the vote. So if you can, from your question, it definitely came out as that there's some intent of a lot of development, but there is not.
But with the plan of you doing is saying, if that were to be proposed and occur, what's appropriate here?
So if it were to occur, it would be more about the housing development than about agricultural land.
If he matches at farm service instead of urban growth, the intent would be for it to remain in agricultural production and allow one house basically in each parcel. And they have to seek amendments for rural residential expansion and develop as a county. Or
you can keep making the lots smaller and
not in that designation. They have to go through an amendment process to the plan to do a larger rural subdivision there.
But they could.
They could, or they could go through an amendment to make it and annex into the city. But the plan is just providing some transparency and direction before we get to that point.
But in 5 years, another generation gets it, which is usually what happens. Then if they want to, but they could come back to the county and the city, correct?
Yeah.
So they're not lost.
No, they're in the amendment process. But this is another one where the property is shown in the 2040 plan, one, where they are acknowledging city growth will be supported in the short term. And so we need to work. If your recommendation is not to that farm service, we really need to work through that with them.
So have you worked with the city of Ames? Redesignated at the last 10 years or 5 years?
Yeah, we have.
And spend, is it positive or negative?
It's a process, but
right.
We usually, yeah, we get through.
Right.
The other thing I want to bring up here is the environmentally sensitive area on the property. And so this is an alternative to... It is an alternative on the previous slide. It's just an additional recommendation to re-review policies in the fringe plan for protecting environmentally sensitive areas that are supposed to be annexed. So the way the fringe plan works is it has policies that apply in the county. Once the property is annexed, those policies don't apply. So what we mean by recommendation act is coming up with a review process for when there's environmentally sensitive areas present and there's an annexation request to build something in for the county to make recommendations on a buffer. Or, if the property owner in touch with county conservation to discuss the conservation.
That be the county has the power to recommend that, or do we actually have the power to insist upon that?
It would be recommended.
And go to the Board of Supervisors to recommend.
Yeah.
Otherwise, virtually, we don't have anything.
This comes back to conditional use permits. Part of the plan is proposing limitations on certain conditional uses in the urban growth and urban reserve overlay because they pose an issue to be able to integrate with future city development. And so here's the list that is in the draft plan. This strategy did generate significant comments and opposition. There are some existing uses in the urban reserve and urban growth areas that would be non-conforming, should be after the plan amended code to no longer allow these uses in those designations. So that would impose restrictions on expansions or rebuilding. So we've got some recommendations. I have a report on that. So we're recommending, one, removing bed and breakfast from the list of the uses we'd like to look at removing and being compatible with urban reserve or urban growth, and instead listing event venues. We'll talk about that more under, D. In addition, we would recommend introducing a conditional use permit that folks can apply for. So if they have a non-conforming use because of our ordinance amendment and they'd like to expand or rebuild if there were a disaster, there's a process for them to go through to request that with our Board of Adjustment.
Has that been done?
No, we don't have that right now.
I mean, those kind of additions to that there's no examples of.
Other jurisdictions do that, yes.
Okay.
We're brought up at the commission meeting for your discussion, so that's removing lodges and fraternal organizations and even recreation facilities from that list of incompatible uses, and allowing event venues with certain limitations on the size of events for traffic generation.
What is that text amendment process?
Yep.
Can you describe
that? Again, this is a strategy in the plan. So a lot of the times when you see a future land use plan, there's a separate section at the end that says, moving forward, here's what we need to do to implement this plan. And so by adopting this named service bridge plan, if this list were in the plan, it does not automatically make those uses off limit. The county has to go back. Review the code and go through a process with you all and the Board of Supervisors and public hearings to really consider what uses are compatible, what uses aren't. Are there supplemental standards we could apply instead of removing the ability to have a certain use in the designation? Can we just come up with some more standards that would be compatible with city growth? So that's what the text was. So that would be after the plant adoption. We look into that. And option E would be removing the strategy from the plan. I want to make sure you have that on your menu of options too. Question?
Can you go back? Excuse me. Can you go back to the? I kind of personally have a problem with limiting some of these things.
Mm-hmm.
So it comes down to the safety aspect of it. well, yes, I don't know if I would propose putting an adult use store next to a playground. I would highly encourage it to go somewhere else, but I think, for example, limiting some of these things, it's just a slippery slope for me. That's kind of my view on it. Shooting ranges, I could definitely see being an issue in certain areas, but Ames's police shooting range is right behind the Mets. And I know they've had problems and they've come about them. So there are some safety aspects of why we want to limit it, but as far as some of these businesses, I think it's just kind of a slippery slope to be limiting some of them.
The campgrounds and RV parks, if they're limited on how long they can stay, or they can't be permanent for 6 months camping there. I mean, why should we restrict?
Yeah, I think.
Yes, that is in the form of the question. I'm just going to encourage us to save the actual discussion for the discussion. But that's an actual question.
So, yeah, it is. I think when we looked at this list, we looked at items that uses that one, like shooting ranges, adult uses that may preclude or make future city development less desirable, but we also looked at uses that are large and take up a lot of land area, and so make the extension of infrastructure more difficult. So that's where farms or solar farms or campgrounds fall.
That in the previous meeting, that was the bed and breakfast was kind of deep because it also implied a venue.
Yes. So venue I think place. Staff's concern is more with scale of venues, not bed and breakfast. We just use that on this list because that's how it appears in our code, right? It's listed as bed and breakfast, and then there's within the standards for that an allowance for event venues. We just want the A is recommending that we clarify our concerns of making sure that venues are compatible, not disallowing bed and breakfast.
So that would be a change to the code?
A change to the draft plan and then later the code. So again, if this list is in the plan and it's adopted, it's not automatically changing the code, making it something that we can't issue permits for. We have to go through a process later and have further discussions on, you know, campgrounds. Would a primitive campground be okay? Maybe. You know, is there a size limitation on some of these uses that would make them compatible?
We can discuss this during our discussion time, correct?
Yeah.
Great.
So the next item is a division to create additional buildable lots in the agriculture and farm service area and urban reserve areas. Right now, we do not allow additions for new lots in the agricultural designation of the plan. We also only allow divisions of existing dwellings that are farmsteads. So those are houses built pre-1977 with agricultural buildings and big breaks associated with them, right? So that is pretty limited because we have other exceptions in our code to allow houses in our A1 agricultural district on smaller pieces of land, but the only one the fringe plan recognizes is that farmstead exception. So while we have a residential commercial subdivision process and the lease that exception, those don't apply in the fringe plan currently. So what this is doing is the draft proposes to allow those other exceptions so that you can reduce your lot size to build a dwelling. The draft did only allow that in the Ag Farm Service designation, but staff is proposing to also allow that in the Urban Reserve designation. It's not creating an additional billable lot, but it's allowing more flexibility so somebody doesn't have to build a full 35 acres. Most counties did want the creation of additional lots to be allowed. So again, we're recommending allowing reduction in lot sizes in the Ag Farm Service Zone and the Urban Reserve. You do have the option to recommend allowing for additional lots to be created in those designations if you've got questions about why staff's not recommending that. I can answer those. We are also recommending an additional item to allow create a strategy that we look at allowing accessory dwelling units or second homes on the same property to kind of meet the need for those that do want to create a second lot. So it'd be limited, but still we'd have allowance.
Could you speak to B on there?
So B is allowing further divisions. So I think in the current fringe plan, again, that's not allowed to create new lots. The county staff's main concern is that we get most of our permit requests in this 2 mile area of Mace. And by allowing new lots to be created, we're going to have a pretty big impact on what that area looks like and the character of that area. The other issue is that in our A1 agricultural district, when we allow a division of land, it's not just one division. One existing parcel in that district, you divide it once and then redivide it again, so you're yielding 4 lots total possible. And that's a lot. So allowing further divisions isn't just going to be one lot to do. It's going to be one lot into 4, and that's basically a minor subdivision without having to meet any of our design standards, access requirements, and I can just see this being a really in-demand thing to do in this 2 mile area of things. And we wouldn't be reviewing it for traffic impacts or requiring, you know, septic systems if we have 4 lots or, you know, roads that meet our standards, they can take access up and access.
So it would be having a real impact without any of the safeguards.
Yes.
Is there a way that we could allow those subdivisions with the safeguards?
Yes. It would be an amendment to rural residential expansion. So if somebody wants to do a division, wants to do, they can request a plan amendment to the rural residential expansion, and that those standards would apply. Or if you're creating 4 lots, we recommend a common septic system being on a paved road. Let me read for the other standards. Minimum levels of surface, basically. Yeah, that would be the process. But you mean within this designation without amendment?
Question.
Okay.
So it would have to be on a paved road?
No.
You don't have any paved roads in
So the rural residential expansion area.
It does exist.
Right. You have to have it. And it's recommended that it's on a paved road, or that there's, if it's not, we look at the traffic impacts, make sure that's okay, or the road is paved. If we're doing, you know, 15 lots, it might make sense just to pave that, you know, quarter of a mile by the developer.
That will allow that currently in the urban overlay, any overlay just to be outside of.
Yeah.
If the rural residential has to be outside 2 miles.
Well, you could be a requesting rural residential expansion to be matched would be allowed if it was designated as farm service without the urban reserve control overlay, or if it's an area that, you know, is pretty far out from the city but is urban reserve, you could also request to remove that to get that designation. So it'd be a process, but that's how we allow, you know, four lots doesn't seem, they're meeting our standards, doesn't have a huge impact, but, you know, we have the appropriate standards in place to make sure.
So B says, or if there's a D that was essentially B, but adding on, like, rural residential expansion, a bit of a process with that?
Yeah, and that's pretty much already built into the plan.
Yeah, as long as the
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're, I'm trying to go back. If that's already in the plan, then how is your concern validated that they would be able to do multiple divisions without?
Because what was proposed, what the alternative was within the Ag Farm Service Designation without an amendment allowing further divisions.
If we choose B, then you recommend C, but is that what you're saying?
No.
No, just anywhere that Ag Farm Service area.
So the concern there is if we have a policy that doesn't say no further divisions are allowed, what you end up with is basically four lots over time, which is, could be a lot. Versus if we say no further divisions are allowed, then there is an amendment process to go through and certain standards would have to be met to make sure there isn't a great impact, that we're not seeing, you know, a huge amount of these kinds of divisions throughout the fringe if they're having an impact.
So four here, four there, four just kind of building on that four and
yeah.
Turns into a real housing development without any of the safeguards, is that kind of one? Without any of the amenities that.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So the 35 acres went away, would go away?
No, we still have that standard, but you have to meet an exception to it to reduce your lot size. We've got four exceptions to the 35 acre standard. So if one of those were met, I think, honestly, they probably would be the Mesa score exception is one of those, and a lot of the properties in the fringe area have a low Mesa score. Yeah, because they're so close to the city.
So the closer you get to the city, especially the distance factor, starts to affect the score of the Mesa. So if some of the properties way out on the fringe of the fringe, you might have a high enough Mesa that it would be the exception. Once you start coming into it, it's one of the weighted points that really start kind of taking away at the score.
But you don't take into consideration that the four.
That's probably so. That's the landing
valuation. Okay.
Yeah. So 11 different factors. Yeah. Rural residential expansion. This is what we just talked about. The designation that you can apply for an amendment for to allow a rural subdivision. Are recommending standards for when it would be appropriate to request this. The ones that have generated the most discussion are initially we proposed not allowing this type of development on more than 40 acres or more than 40 acres to be amended at once. We also recommended that we only entertain map amendments twice a year. So that would limit when you can request those. And we also created a target based on our housing study and taking the projected housing needs for the county and distilling that down to the 2-mile area within Ames, and then distilling that down into subdivision lots based on our permitting data from the past 10 years, a target of 60 new dwellings needed in rural subdivisions. So that's not a policy, but it is a consideration. So the policy is the amount of previously approved rural residential expansion areas shall be considered when granting an amendment, covering the description of what rural residential expansion is. It basically says that it's estimated we need approximately 60 new dwellings in the next 20 years in the urban fringe. So again, it's not, it's a consideration. So what we're recommending to be changed would be removing the limitation on the amount of land that can be requested to be amended at once, the 40 acres. Why are we doing that? A real recent example, there's land for auction at the on 190th right next to the interstate. We reviewed a conceptual rural subdivision plan for that area, and there were grass waterways running through the main 40-acre piece. And wouldn't it make sense to avoid those areas with a development and cluster the development on other areas of the site that didn't have grass waterways or other drainage issues? Well, that would require, if there's three pieces, one's 40 acres and there's two 20-acre pieces, that would require us allowing an amendment for all three pieces, right? So the 40-acre limitation could inhibit better design, is staff's concern. So we would recommend removing that just so you can request an amendment to a larger area, and then we're able to work through, you know, siting houses or other development in the best portion of that area. We're also recommending removing the restriction of the number of years, time of years, times per year of the cooperator's year amendment. So it was twice a year. I think Ben brought that up, that when land is proposed to be purchased for development purposes, a lot of the time the agreement includes a provision that it has to be amended or rezoned before the sale goes through. And if we're restricting things to twice a year, that really limits the ability to buy land for development. There was also discussion of removing that target of 60 lots a year, but staff's not recommending doing that. I think we do need some sort of target for consideration in the plan. If we're going to have a policy that says, let's think about how many of these we're approving, we should have some sort of number to look at. Questions?
What was your math on the 60 then?
So the housing study projected 427 new lots on the countywide in the next 20 years. That was based on 10 years of permit data. And then county staff, I'm looking for my map here. We took the permitting data that was used to create that 427 number. We distilled it down to permits issued within 2 miles of Ames within that time frame to come up with a ratio. We applied that ratio to 427, and then we further distilled it to create a ratio of permits issued for new houses on acreages, of course, 35-acre pieces versus houses permitted in subdivisions, to come up with a ratio to apply to. I think we came up with 124 dwellings were in total permitted over the last 10 years, and, you know, 60% of those were. But basically, we took the projection from the housing study and then looked at our permitting data and looked at the permitting data as a whole within 2 miles of Ames, and then just within subdivisions to come up with a target.
Mark, can you also say those permits that you are getting are within the 2 mile radius?
Yes. But this is just a limitation on these subdivision lots, not the acreage.
So a lot of those are acreages.
this would not, the 35 acres or the 40 acres to put a house up in, stop an abatement. That doesn't, that has nothing to do with that, correct?
No, this is
just the 2 miles of Ames.
Just the 2 miles of Ames and not putting a house for 35 acres. It's
right.
Putting 40 houses.
40 houses.
On 40 acres, okay. Right? Questions? And this is just our last slide of recommendation. So there's other items to address. I know we discussed these last time, but I wanted to bring them up again. Making sure that all parcels in the fringe plan are within the 2 mile area, that was in state, somewhere outside. We also want to make sure we have a process for allowing the reconfiguration of land in the urban reserve or ag town service overlay for commercial development. So we introduced a boundary line adjustment process. And for rural residential users, right, but we want to make sure that we're providing some flexibility to commercial users if they're not, you know, creating new development lots, just reconfiguring their parcel, some flexibility there. And then there were several comments raised from property owners near Martin Marietta. You know, their comments were about noise, dust, traffic issues near the mine. And I think that would be best addressed through reviewing the standards we have for mining operations in our code rather than the fringe plan. But I did want to bring that up just so it's on our radar when we look at our work. And you all can ask me more questions after public comments to
yeah.
What I'm discussing.
Maybe based on, on some of the
questions.
Yeah. We will move on to public hearing. Let's make it till 5:30. You can stop the recording. Not to cede your time to someone else, but by all means, you know, organize with yourself. So if you don't have time to say everything, then pass it on to the next person. If you could come up to the podium and say your name and your address. And, oh, the process will hold up a sign. You will hold up a sign 1 minute
warning
and then stop.
Hi, Christine Governor, 3505 245th Street. I don't have a whole lot of space. I think it was pretty explicit in my email that I sent this morning. The one thing I just want to point out is, because Neil had said that, and this is what my understanding was also, that the 2040 plan was supposed to use as a guideline for the UFP. So if you're supposed to be using the 2040 plan as a guideline, then apparently the vote that the city council had in 2020 that said that they were staying north of Highway 30, they were taking Southwest Banks completely out. They even said a motion to bring in tier ones and tier twos. It was, I don't know what the word is, it didn't go through at a vote of 4-2. It was knocked out. So how then can an area that is neither tier one, a tier two, a tier three, a tier four, now becomes urban growth? So when speaking about the Champlin property, this is greatly concerning to my family because we're right in the middle of it. So the environmental issues are huge, and it's very concerning to me that it doesn't seem like it's a very big issue to people. So that's concerning that even though the experts recommend that these studies be done, they're not being done. So
this is the issue. The way it's written now is Mike Flummerfeld came up and said, you know what, I understand that there's environmental concerns here. I understand the way this it works out here, and I want to put just one house on 10 acres and do a rural subdivision. It's an automatic no. There is no question. There is no asking the county what their position is. It's no. That's what urban growth means. So if we want to go back to rural ag, which is where we were before this whole nonsense started in 2006 that none of us even knew about. That's where we should be, so that we can have some protection from you guys that decide what happens to it. Not the city of Ames, because the city of Ames takes it. They don't care about the environment. They don't care about nothing. They're going to do whatever they want to do with it. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Brad Perkins, 5500 240 Street, Ames. My wife and my family, we operate one of three bed and breakfasts in Story County, and one of three campgrounds that I know of anyway in Story County. We are probably the only one of those that are within the Ames Urban Fringe plan. So when the plan says that existing conditional uses will no longer be permitted to be considered legal nonconforming, it does feel quite personal because this is us. Now, I have a serious issue with the idea that we are going to be turned into legal nonconforming. Notice on page 9 where it says if something is blown down or destroyed, may not be able to be rebuilt. It specifically says in the previous memo that legal nonconforming means it would not be encouraged the long-term survival of the business. We just got these permits 4 years ago. Developing a business right now has been incredibly difficult. The last thing I need is the county coming in and trying to specifically run us out of business while we are following every rule that there is. Now, let me look at the possible alternatives here, right? Option B is really just asking for legal problems. Basically, we're going to make you non-conforming, and then we'll have a permit that you could apply for to maybe fix something later. That is a serious problem. I've already been 4 years with legal issues. Because of our permits, it's still ongoing. I don't need more. If lodges and patrol organizations can easily be removed from that list, why not campgrounds and bed and breakfasts? And with regards to limiting the size of the events, there is a limitation in county code. If you have an event of more than 300, you need a special event permit. Anyone can have up to 300 people. We in our permit have a limitation. Putting a limitation in the fringe plan is once again trying to turn the fringe plan into code. It doesn't belong there. My recommendation would be remove these particular conditional uses.
Thank you.
Yeah. Alex Christensen, 2984, South Dakota. First, before I run out of time, I want to say I want to urge the commission to not approve sending recommendations to county supervisors without having the time or a chance to review a final draft. I say this because we saw this play out at the Ames City Council with the 2040 plan, and they had a vote in the City Council, and I don't want to use the word champions, but it took place after the vote when it was in the hands of staff. So that's why I want you guys to see a final draft first. Okay, the next thing, I would say, where's Boone County in this? Boone County is not part of this fringe plan. Why? Because the city planner goes to Boone County and says, hey, we want to do this fringe plan. They say, what's in it for us? Nothing. And that's why we're all here. Because nothing's in it for us. This is all about Ames. This is an Ames wish list. You got to ask yourself, why are we here if this is a good thing for us? It's not. And you're not obligated to work with Ames, just like Boone County does with Ames. It's supposed to be transparency on where they want to grow. I mean, they more or less put a huge circle around the entire city because they don't know. I mean, they don't need to plan 1,500 years in advance. We don't know. And why put restrictions on our property when we have no idea if we'll be built any time in our life? Okay, and then on conditional uses, such as event venues, I mean, we're made to believe it's about traffic, but there's churches in residential areas
They have regular weekly service and they host weddings, and there's never an issue. Banshell Park is in a residential area, hosts live music. It's considered an asset to the community. To me, it makes a lot more sense that conditional uses should be handled on a case-by-case basis as they are now. So you can decide, you know, okay, maybe shooting range like this is obviously not a good idea. You can decide that now. You're okay with that.
Thank you.
Patrick Anderson, 2410 State Avenue, Ames. Just to follow up with what the other gentleman said, in my two meetings here, all I've heard is representations of how the City of Ames benefits Bushford County. I haven't heard one thing proposed that benefits any county resident or in the entirety, not one thing. But I have heard several things that placate the wish list of Ames many times over. Heard represented several times over, but not one thing has been represented that benefits the people of Story County.
Thank you guys for the opportunity. So I watched the webinar last time, that 4-hour one. This is a lot more active than watching this one. So thank you for this opportunity. A couple of things I really wanted to bring up was it really caught me so much as we talked about the Champlin property, those plants, those several houses. That is a farm community. I'm in that plant. Okay. I have an SSA farm member because of duration stuff, but that's a windbreak and stuff. So I'm familiar with that, that. And so I just question why that's a farm. That should be ag service as it currently is. There doesn't seem any plants developed there. Nobody in the community says they're going to develop. What's the farm of leaving it as it is? It seems like the whole thing of annexation says, well, maybe, but what we didn't go down is the thing of voluntary and involuntary. And the plans are in the City of Ames. I mean, it's put out. How many acres they need is 560 acres because they know Meadow Glen will not vote for annexation because it put 70,000, all that cost is put on the landowners. And there's a whole difference between voluntary and involuntary, and this just sets it up for a developer to come in and force us to pay the bill. It's an ag service. I think it should stay there. And I ask you to vote. Also, real quick, you know, there's a lot of people here in this area that sometimes local control, like what we're doing here with cannabis beds. As you go through these things, people here know how it affects. I would ask you to show hands what these people would want, because we live in that area. It's really all coming from Southwest, and I would ask them to show hands what they think would be best. But as a community, to work together. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm Leonard Larson, 3158 South Dakota Avenue, Ames, Iowa. Before I forget it, Rural Creek, since it's called have it in my backyard, and it goes in Phil's front yard. You guys misspelled the name of Rural Creek. When we go by sometime when you're out there, you know, driving down Dartmoor to see what is buildable lots of other because you'll find that's pretty rough territory. All right, I just want to say a couple things. The clearest thing I saw up here in the South with you guys is when you got to the list, because it really made sense. You had expertise in all those areas, and I think you could have had some great discussions here, which we will get to right now. So I suggest, as an ex-school board member of United, that each of you take a part of that plan and become an expert on it so you know the right questions to ask. Okay, a minute left. All right. Well, hey, Alex got to United. See how well he turned out. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
there is absolutely no way you should vote for this grant.
Oh,
Matthew
Christensen. Can we start over again?
Yeah.
And could you state your name and your address?
Matthew Christensen, 2985 South Dakota Avenue. There is no way you should vote for this. There's no way. Here's why. Iowa City doesn't have a plan this restrictive, the district going in, and they're growing just fine. They have a med school, a law school, one of the best hospitals in the world. Ankeny, one of the fastest growing cities in the state, if not the fastest. Two giant high schools. They don't have a plan that's restrictive. So why does Ames? We need to answer this. This should be a question on all of your tongues. Why does Ames need a plan that's restrictive? It doesn't make sense. Iowa City's fine. Ankeny's fine. But Ames needs something more. Why? The second thing I would ask is, what is the most important aspect of a community? What's the most important aspect? You represent a community. We're all part of a community. Safety. Do you think Ames has been well managed from a safety perspective? Do they deserve to grow? Think about this. Let me tell you a name. Uriah Sellers. Uriah Sellers. Anyone who's been in this community for a while remembers Uriah Sellers. You know why I would remember that name? Because he was the first murderer in Ames in like 12 years, back in 1997. I remember that name, 25 years later. There's been so many murders in Ames in the last 20 years, I can't remember their names. 2018, a family from Spain entrusted our community to keep their daughter safe, who was golfing out of state. She was murdered in the middle of the day while golfing. Uriah Sellers died at 3 a.m. in a drunken fight. See that? I lived in Miami for 4 years. Violent city. You stay off Grand Avenue, you're probably okay. I lived in D.C. for 4 years. You stay out of Southeast, you're probably okay. The shooting at Elk Lodge between two groups shooting each other, you know where that was next to? Does anyone know where Elk Lodge is? Next to the public library. Just last, a couple months ago. Gang shooting. A 15-year-old shot somebody. We have gang shootings in Ames, Iowa. Does Ames deserve to grow? I would say by the metric of safety, Ames has been an abject failure, and you should not allow it to grow.
Thank you.
Protect our communities.
My name is Joyce Peterson. I'm on 265th Street, which is just south, right to south of Ames. And we are in the urban growth area. And I have written to you about preserving farmland. So I do appreciate the fact that you're looking at this and considering some ways to preserve farmland, because there are a lot of places that aren't paying any attention. The other thing, we're a small group of people, and unfortunately a lot of them couldn't come tonight, so we don't look like we're well represented. But I think our area needs to be considered strongly because we are completely agricultural. The other thing that I would ask is that you take time to look at this, you know, consider it carefully and study it a little more before you make the final decision. We need really wise decisions, so I appreciate it if you do that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Lisa Danielson, 2981 South Dakota Avenue. 2 minutes is not very much time. Last time I talked at us, I just figured out. So. Let's see. I wanted to point out Johnson County and their comprehensive plan for rural residential. They had anywhere from 23 to 101 new rural residential in 1 year. Okay, this is not very much. Or Story County, and there is a demand for it. The plan that they keep being mentioned that they voted on, what's in the 2040 plan is their what they would like to have for their fund agreement. That doesn't mean that that's what it has to be. That's just Ames' wish list. It's carbon copy what you're being presented with, is what Ames wants, okay? You don't have to do that. In a recent Ames Tribune article, Kelsey Diekman estimated that they have enough land in the city for 5 to 7 years of development. before they need to grow up pension borders. This plan is only for 10 years. They already have enough for 5 to 7 years. So they don't need another 17,000 urban reserve. Please make it Farm and Egg, all of their urban reserve. And real quick, I think if an entire neighborhood is standing up and telling you not here, like we really need to listen to them. I'm certain that Brookside Park probably has sewer pretty close by that they could develop that, and I'm pretty sure the Ames community would say no. Same thing here. We've got a natural area we'd like to protect. I know. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Becky Christensen, 2985 South Dakota Avenue. I just want to comment on a few things about my strong slide that I recommend. Item number F, they don't recommend, but I think they'll change the urban reserve to ag and farm service, as was number 3 in the Board of Supervisors letter to the City of Ames. That's what they recommended, and that's what Amelia originally told us that the county was in favor. So I encourage you to do that. Next thing is take all designations off of Iowa State property. Ames or neither Ames nor the county has any control over Iowa State property. So leave it the way it is. Get those cash plates off. It's not necessary. Second and third, what everybody said, we have no obligation to this 2040 plan whatsoever. And, you know, I've heard different parts of the plan mentioned, well, we have to do it because this says this in the plan. And then it comes to Meadow Glen, and in your plan, Meadow Glen is shown as rural residential, existing. So, which is it? You can't keep applying rules differently for each situation. For Champlin and Meadow Glen, go with option D. My last thing is, why can't you build on an outlet? Why is that only for developers, not small builders? Thank you.
Thank you. As you're going up, go ahead. Do we have people on Zoom who have requested to speak?
If you're on Zoom, if you could please raise your hand, and then we'll unmute you when it's your turn to speak. The raise the hand button. If you look like a little hand, it will be at the bottom of your screen.
Thank you.
That's not part of my time.
I just want to say, Kim Anderson said 2985. I just want to say this plan is a mess. It is hard to understand. You have some designations. Some are annexable. Some are not annexable. But we'll fix it by saying this. Other things are going to be subjectional, totally subjectional down the road as to what it's going to be allowed, especially when you get into the natural areas and the other areas. We'll decide that down the road. This is a horrible plan to put our county into. And it affects our county. It affects me. It affects my family. It affects the city. It affects everybody in the fringe plan. And once you start integrating this whole thing into the zoning process, which is what the strategy is, it'll affect everybody in this town. I say, put the brakes on. Let's really analyze this. Let's maybe pull away from Kelly Diekman's plan, because this is his plan. And let's see what other alternatives there might be for a fringe plan. If we need a fringe plan. You know, you ask, how many fringe plans are there in the was there another fringe plan out? Yeah, one. There's hardly any fringe plans. Big cities that do all sorts of stuff. And it makes it easy to understand how to develop, how to, when you buy land, what you can do with it. And that's what we want to be. We want to be neighbors, not enemies. I mean, this whole cooperative thing, I don't understand why we can't be Ames and Gilbert. And the county, whatever we have to have, let's call ourselves by friends and names. That's what I got. Thanks.
Thank you.
I support you.
2017, I have been up, became the start of the process for Buzzberry Hill. I've been focusing on that came from. At the time, we had 3-year-old little girls, twins, that came and sat here. And that's the older boys, 13 years at the time. As a family business, we had an inspiration to be able to develop it and hand it down. Now we are standing here again after hours and hours of my husband dedicating time at the office, here, and back and forth fighting. After a 2020 pandemic and inflation. We all work our tails off as a family. I'm wearing my brace. I'm breaking my back. I work so hard because I can't pay people for the business. So my now 7-year-old girls, they clean the house. They make the bed. They clean the, you can see it on Facebook. It's all perfect. I'm proud of them. My kids know we are, and they're trying to go to college, and they want to have their own lives. Because by now I thought I could hire people. And now you're saying, you could shut me down. That sounds right. Well, you face that you see it. And I'm a little person with little girls. You're in a big city, big money. I am walking in it. We're not divided.
Thank you.
July 7th, 3108 South Dakota Avenue. There's a couple of things that I noted during Lee's presentation. I would ask that there be some kind of clarification between a development and an acreage. She uses the same terms over and over again. There's quite a bit of difference between a development that has more than 4 houses on it and an individual acreage that's maybe 20 acres. I live on 10. So I would ask for that. Secondly, the idea that Iowa State will ever sell land, that's pie in the sky. That will never happen. That overlay should be removed from all Iowa State ground. Iowa State just purchased the Belmont property, another 140 acres, just adjacent to the research park. The only piece of property that is available on in that area is the Black Heritage Farm. All the rest of it's all owned by Iowa State. And there is almost 4,500 acres of ground in Washington Township alone that is controlled by Iowa State in some shape or form. Also, the comments by Menz regarding the CSR is extremely important, and that needs to be viewed. I mean, as far as an urban sprawl is another thing, that's what we keep seeing. I mean, more and more acres are going to, well, this is nice and flat, boom, let's build here. And maybe they build on it or maybe they don't, but now it's under control. And so, yeah, they continue to farm it, but we know sooner or later something's going to happen. And the idea that, oh, well, there's a stream through here or there's a waterway. Well, how many times have they dug holes and said, oh, wow, no, so we have a pond? So it's a lot of mistakes.
Do you have any raised hands on Zoom?
Okay, if you're on Zoom, you could raise your hand, and we'll unmute you so you can provide comments.
This concludes the hearing part of it now. Amelia, is it a appropriate to ask any follow-up questions before we start that motion?
I can answer.
Concerning this, once again, not the discussion, but questions based on what we've been hearing. Okay, hearing.
A gentleman mentioned, what is in it for Ames? What is in it for Story Temple? The residents. And I live in the fringe. So what is the advantage to having the urban fringe plan versus not having the urban fringe? How does it protect us, me, in the fringe versus not having it? I think this is an important thing to understand. What is in it for us in the fringe?
Is us Story County?
No, it's us that live in the fringe. So it's in Story County, but in this striped urban reserve. I guess the urban reserve would be a good thing. What's in it for us?
Sure. This is our C2C plan. The purple area is the 2 mile radius outside of the city of Ames. C2C plan adopts the Ames Urban Fringe Plan land use designation. Without a fringe plan, we do not have land use designations or planning within 2 miles of Ames. We would need to amend the C2C plan to map urban expansion areas. Likely, what we've done with other cities is based on their comprehensive plans. And so then we would have similar urban growth reserve areas mapped. That's the typical process. But what happens if we don't have a plan and if we don't participate? How's the draft plan different from the current plan? So, LISA exceptions and farmstead exceptions to create additional lots in the Ag Farm Service designation. These exceptions to create additional lots in the Urban Reserve designation, those aren't going to be permissible really anyway. The benefit is we are working with the other cities involved in this to allow reductions in lot sizes and let our LISA, have a LISA exception apply so that folks can do a land division. That's not something that's allowed in the current plan. That's not a policy in the Ames 2040 plan. That's something the county is working for. The creation of additional development lots in rural residential areas. It provides a clear process by having a plan for the county that we have review authority, we have our own standards. Otherwise, you see a question mark there. It's still within Ames' 2 miles, and they still have review authority, and they're going to be following their 2040 plan when they review those. Annexation. We would have no agreed-upon review policies if an annexation came to us and we do not have a land use designation matched because we don't have a plan. We have no comment on that annexation. Because under state code, the courts review annexations in conformance with our comprehensive plan, and we do not have one. Rezoning, again, no comprehensive plan. When I get a rezoning application, we have a standard that it has to conform with our future land use plan. Staff will be unable to conclude if that standard's met. So we'll probably have a lot of folks who could request a rezoning to ag residential. R1 residential in the rural areas, they'd be in line with our policies, our subdivision standards. They'd go through that process to request subdivision of the city of Ames, and it could be denied. So what's the purpose of that? What's the purpose of that work? We need clear, transparent guidelines for folks that live in this area about what's allowed and what's not allowed. And the county needs to, have its own standards for when rural residential developments are allowed. The policies you see in the rural residential area of the plan are taken from our C2C plan. So these are the county's policies. Encourage clustering of residential sites. Review subdivisions on a case-by-case basis. Encourage proposed developments to take access off paved roads. When the development is adjacent to agricultural uses, provide adequate buffers to minimize conflicts. Those from the C2C plan are the policies we see in the rural residential expansion areas. So there is a benefit to the county. It does conform with our plan. Our C2C plan in that respect is
good. Could we have to be really quiet? It's a distraction that we are really trying hard to concentrate. Excuse me.
No, so I think at the end of the day, you know, we need to work together because there are policies that apply. The cities are allowed to review divisions within 2 miles of their boundaries. You know, the county should have some say in annexations and where we think rural residential developments go. And I think we need to work together to make sure there's some flexibility. We're listening to folks by, you know, working through, are we allowing reductions in lot sizes here? Are we allowing divisions here? That's it.
So what I hear you saying, it protects us that live in the urban fringe area from having ineffective growth or perhaps a sprawl. So this urban growth will have the county still able to make choices that are reasonable and effective and logical, still in your control, not allow the city just to continue to come out. So that's what I'm hearing you say.
Mm-hmm. So I think looking out from the, you know, I think the urban reserve, while it can be viewed as an allowance for city growth, it can be also viewed as a limit on that growth. It's a boundary.
Without the plan, we're not protected. Is that what you're saying?
Without the plan, we don't have transparency, and we're not on the same page about what developments allow where and what folks can expect in the future.
But is that a bad thing? If you're not on the same page, because sometimes if you work through things, you come up with a better plan.
Right, that's what we're doing.
Who came up with the urban reserve overlay, the county or Ames?
It's in the Ames. It's a designation in the Ames 2040 plan, but county staff worked on allowing reductions in lot sizes and the policies for when annexation is appropriate of those areas.
So you're making it more restrictive.
The question was asked about what's the district development at acreage?
Sure.
Just speak to that.
Yep, it's actually defined in the plan in the glossary section. Development use is generally throughout the plan, land divisions or rezonings triggering the application of Ames urban fringe plan policies. Development does not mean constructing a single family dwelling, accessory building, or other activities on a property that is zoned to allow use where no land division or special permit is needed.
So how can I find that or to get it?
Yeah, it's on the county's website under planning and development, and then you have a special, special page for the fringe plan where you can view a draft of the plan and a map.
So if I go into Story County Planning and Zoning,
mm-hmm.
and from there go into?
Go into planning and development, our department page, and then the Ames urban fringe plan page.
And then what page is that on that you just clicked?
Then
definition?
No, there's a big button you click on that says view draft your plan, and it's on in page 3 in the block.
And the definition.
Yeah, so when I'm talking about development, what I really mean is rezonings or development that's creating additional lots for a new house, right? We're not just creating one lot, a smaller lot in one house. That's covered in that definition.
And his question also was on acreage. If that definition pages are also a definition on acreage.
I don't define acreage, certainly. Clarify development versus acreage. Yeah.
That page more than one acre. That's true. Good point.
I think that acreage typically means that, you know, a single parcel of land for one home, not part of a larger development for even a second home on a different parcel, right? We're just talking about one lot for one house, not part of a larger.
Might be beneficial to try to find that.
Yeah.
There's another point about time or someone tying into the process of we're able to vote on or have motions to vote on some of these things. Get a lot of comments of trying slow down the process to make sure that we're in agreement with what's going to be presented for the board and then go on and so forth. But it's a process question. We're doing it now would go to the board unless we had a motion. Otherwise, can you take everything that we voted for and come back to us one more time so we see the draft that you say Board of Supervisors?
I guess, do you need a draft of the letter or a plan draft?
Probably. What's going to go to the board?
So the board is going to get a memo, like you all received, and instead of it saying staff recommends, it'll say commission recommends, and all of the alternatives you consider will still be listed.
So there's by chance an error of misinterpretation from what we said to that we would be able to see that before the board does speak to that. It doesn't necessarily.
Yeah, but I'm planning on maybe just using the same memo.
Yeah.
Certainly.
There's be time at the worst if there was something that would say
that's not what we want. I can send you all a copy if you want. But.
Or put it in the agenda and we can hold on. Do we agree like we do on the
order? Yeah, I mean, we could bring it back in September if you want.
But then if we have to do it again the next time to see the new draft.
That's right.
Yeah. Is this really saying what we said? Or, I mean, it would be, in that case, would it be just bringing it back to confirm that you wrote down what we said to write it?
Yeah. And, you know, that is part of my responsibility as a staff person. That's what I do with every single recommendation you make. So,
yeah, we could. In other words, we could ask for that with everything we work on, and let's see if you did it right.
Yeah. Up to you, though.
Yeah.
So if we were going to request that it comes back one time, means that before we go through all these motions, go through each slide of motions, or
we could.
Yeah, and I want really clear what you want to come back, and if it. Want full edited draft, that's going to take a couple months to bring back to you. If you want just a copy of the letter, like there's a letter at Appendix A in your memo right now, and if you want me to plug in your recommendations to that letter, that's something that could be accomplished.
This meeting is recorded, correct?
Yeah.
And so, you know, the public has the ability to check the accuracy if we didn't do it in that way.
Yeah, but just
they would have, is that correct?
Yes. Yeah, the meeting's recorded. And we post the audio.
But you did say we could come back with the drafts in a couple months.
I recommend a draft letter. If you wanted a draft of something in Appendix A of your memo, there's a draft letter. One section says, based on these issues on page 15, the county proposes the following changes. And I just haven't filled that section in yet because we haven't seen that. So I can fill that section in with your recommendations. I'll bring it back to you. But we are pretty practiced at bringing your recommendations.
So in the middle of this, how are we in the county protected from, like, the original plan, from maybe a developer coming in and saying, we're going to do this now? Or what I'm saying is, this is a plan. It protects the rural residents if it gets adopted. But we're having this middle time when we're discussing the plan, correct? And right now we don't have a plan.
We're still on the old plan.
And that's protected.
That's agreed. Yeah, that's agreed upon. We've got policies.
And so it didn't expire yet.
No, we renewed it.
You renewed it. And how long is that good?
Until November.
Until November. We might have to renew it again.
Yeah.
Possibly. Mm-hmm. But we're still under a plan. That's my question.
So if we were to approve all your staff recommendations and it goes to the Board of Supervisors and they make their presentation, they agree with that, and it goes to Ames Gilbert, and Ames Gilbert says no to whatever we're asking for,
Do we come back to this point again?
Yep. So I assume there will be some things they agree with, some they don't agree with. The process that I outlined on page one of your handout would be that, you know, as staff, we try to work through those issues and bring that. If we can come to a resolution on something and suggest that as an alternative, bring that back to you. Yeah. But there are some issues that I don't know if we can work through as staff and might require a larger work session of the cooperators where we bring the work supervisors and the city councils together to discuss goals and vision and come up with shared strategies.
Which would be a good thing.
Situation.
But we wouldn't, I don't think we involve the commission in that kind of work session.
And in the situation of there's no agreement between the three parties.
I guess we still have a final draft put together and see if the cooperators are approve it or not.
Page.
Yeah.
There's from the very or almost very start, I've heard a lot about, you know, the lack of opportunities for public input and everything. Could you outline the process, the places where you have that?
Sure.
I know we've mentioned that before, but throughout the entire process, when are the opportunities for public action?
So, we made the public draft available on May 17th. We had it open for public comment with a form and an interactive map on the website until the 14th of June, so about 30 days, a whole month. We had a public presentation and forum with staff that you have the recording and all the comments from transcript. We also had two more open meetings where you can meet individually with staff and ask questions, leave comments on a comment card or a map. You know, we did have over 150 participants in the meetings and, you know, about the same number in comments. We have alone just 100 comments on our interactive map to you. And then we will be having public hearings on the final draft. So.
And all the cooperators also have a process for public input?
Yep, they'll also have public hearings on the final draft. And Ames and Gilbert worked with us on that outreach piece that I just touched on. So that was.
So they were part of that.
Yes, they were part of that. And they have received all of the public comments as well. I've gotten copies of those. I'm not happy to support supervisors as well.
Any other questions before we move into them?
Right.
I understand that you have slides. And the way we will approach this is we will have individual motions for each part. And so that will allow for discussion after if a motion is brought before us and seconded, then we will have discussion. So this will be individually moved on these parts.
So I'll introduce each one for you.
If you would.
Great. So on your first page and on the screen, the issue you're determining is how to move forward with the urban reserve. We can, one, request to reduce the amount of annexable urban reserve and work through that with the cooperators, and I'll bring something back to you. Two, B, remove the ability, request to remove the ability to annex any of the urban reserve. C is about the Iowa State University lands. We could maintain those annexable. That came up because, you know, the new feed mill, they wanted sewer and wanted to annex. So when we discussed removing them from the urban reserve, it was also brought up that that provides flexibility. So we've incorporated that option for you to choose from. And the other alternative here would be to keep all areas in the urban reserve both overlay annexable instead of removing them as annexable. So that's D. And then E would be tonight making specific recommendations about what areas should be annexable and shouldn't be annexable. And F would be complete removal of the urban reserve overlay from the plan, requesting that not to be in the plan.
I would entertain a motion for this slide. And I would just remind the commission that if something isn't passed, or if there is a motion made, it can also be amended. And if it doesn't pass, another motion can be made. But we need a motion before our discussion.
We have our discussion. That was the
goal. I know. What I'm really after is taking one of these and going with it. And then we can discuss it.
Okay.
I'll move to F, removal of urban reserve overlay designation from the plan and maintain areas attached as such as agricultural and farm service.
It's been moved. Do I hear a second?
F.
I'll second it.
It's been moved and seconded that we do the, that we do what is listed under F. Any discussion? I'm wondering what the issue with Iowa State is. You know, it's kind of been listed as a given that they're not going to sell their land and everything. And I'm not quite understanding then what's the harm in making it possible that if they ever do decide that, if it's not going to happen, it's not going to happen. I would like to turn the commission about that. What is the big issue with one way or the other?
With annexing Iowa State or non-annexing?
Or allowing it to be annexed, because we know that annexing requires someone to ask to be annexed. So,
and just a reminder, the motion was to remove all urban reserve overlay from the plan, right now, not just Iowa State lands, just remove the designation.
I think so. Why that's my initial thought here is it's just a large buffer that's very restrictive for a long time. So to keep it in ag farm services seems to make sense. And it's from the comments that we've gotten has been the most vocal side. There's been a lot of opportunity for public input. There has been a lot of comments. There's been a lot of back and forth that we've seen opposing the ones. It's really been consistently the same people being vocal about the same issues. And so this feels in line with what
I think it's kind of just playing a little bit of hardball with the entire thing. Some areas that might be able to grow and still protect or preserve some of the areas that have been talked about, have been brought up in concern. I was kind of thinking going more along with option A, allowing the staff to kind of negotiate with a little bit. You have a little bit of a give and take, so we're not taking a hard ball stance on it. Especially since we've heard a lot of concerns in certain areas and pretty much nothing in others. James has gotten that and Gilbert's gotten that. Understanding. So I think if we give a little bit of give and take, it might go better.
We have heard that from Gilbert. They have responded to where they don't want to have that annex. They want to have that buffer between 180th and 190th. Taking the reserve off, would that be listening to the people that have made comment between that 180th and 190th?
With taking away the urban reserve, take away, given the annexing regulations by the state and everything, would that mean that we would not be involved in the annexation process when the plan comes?
Why not? That would just mean that no annexation of that area is possible, and if a cooperator did annex a portion of that area and didn't seek an amendment to the plan first, they'd be in violation of our plan, and the county would sue them.
But they would have, they would know better.
Yeah.
Pushing a better question.
Right.
Do I hear any further discussion? It has been moved and seconded to bring the suggestion to the Board of Supervisors to remove the urban reserve overlay designation from the plan and maintain the areas mapped as such as agriculture and farm services. We'll do a roll call vote, please.
Johnson?
Yes.
Benz?
Yes.
Duncan?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Motion failed. I would entertain any further motions in this slide, in this area.
I move we go with option A, staff's recommendations.
It's been moved. Do I hear a second?
Discuss it. Okay, a second, so we can discuss it.
Yeah. Okay. It's not a commitment.
No, to your
we can discuss it. Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we make the suggestion of A, the work with the other cooperators to reduce the amount of annexable urban reserve overlay, reducing the amount of annexable land in the urban reserve and it could include the Iowa State University on land. And staff, and it would also recommend limiting the annexable area of the urban reserve area between 190th and 180th Street to the areas between the railroad tracks and Highway 69. We'll take the whole thing as the motion and the amendment. Any discussion?
To the area between the road. Personally, I want to see that whole strip buffered. That's my personal opinion. The division between 180th and 190th, not east of the approach. That's the reason I believe buffers are brutal, or it's beautiful. They're keep on eating. It's flat, it's smooth, it's beautiful. It's good for conservation. It's good for this. I'd like to do a CSR rating on that. So to make it annexable for, when I hear annexable, I hear, let's continue the Haiti Prairie Reserve or East Bates, keep on bus people going up north toward Gilbert. And that to me, that's just going to sprawl. I know they Angie wants it. They say they have utilities that can go up there. I understand that. But for the next 10 years, I'm just going to go up there and fill in with that.
I don't disagree with you on that. It's just Gilbert's already kind of asking for it.
Right.
So I just don't want to have staff fighting battles that are just not winnable. So a little bit of give and take is about after.
Yeah.
And we're not moving in. Tomorrow's not going to be the day that the whole place is going to be built.
Speed of government.
Yeah. I understand that Gilbert wants to have control of that. Right? If we have that buffer, neither Ames nor Gilbert. But let's discuss it. Let's see what it's like in 10 years to see where is the growth. Reserve CSR rating for that area.
By reducing the amount of annexable reserve overlay, if you were on an annexable reserve overlay, what could you do?
Reduce
the lot size for that lot. Well, that's not. Be compatible with A1 agricultural zoning, so farming. And then there'd be potentially restrictions on additional uses. It's a huge area, making it all kind of reduce the amount of annexable, making it reducing than just the agriculturalness.
Right. But they're including that part between the railroad tracks and the 69, and I'd like to scratch that. So are you suggesting an amendment?
Yeah, I was going to tell you what the amendment procedure is, if you're interested. After the main motion has been made and seconded, any member can propose an amendment. After being recognized by the chair by stating, I meant to move the motion by, and then including the amendment. And then each amendment must be seconded by another member. And then the chair will ask the commission for discussion on the proposed amendment if there's any additional. And then a vote on the proposed amendment is taken. And then the vote is taken on the main motion. With or without the
amendment. I'm looking at this map, and there's a lot of land east of 35. I don't know if all that exceeds.
That would be part of, you could amend A or. To need direction to pursue that.
Start to get into specifics, really, really specifics. It's a different motion, but it's also it's not taking the thing as a whole, and I kind of cherry picking it a little bit in my view, but we have an amendment. Do we have an amendment?
No, we don't have an amendment.
We're still on the same.
Can we all agree, work with the other collaborators to reduce the amount of annexable urban reserve overlay? Do we agree with that? We could go sentence by sentence.
And we're discussing it all as a whole, unless there's an amendment.
Yeah.
But we can certainly discuss it without an amendment as part of whether we vote yay or nay.
Non-annexable urban reserve area. So we're saying this is an area the city's potentially going to grow into, but we're going to not allow annexing to happen. Let's say, we're not sure whether we're going to state the specific areas. It just seems like a counterintuitive.
How is it going to look like that city water? Sounds like I've heard you say, yeah, they've requested that.
Any further discussion on that motion? This has been moved and seconded. Could we do a roll call vote, please?
As it stands.
Yes, unless you are discussing more.
Okay,
unless we're discussing.
Johnston?
Yes.
Johnston?
No. No.
No.
No.
Yes. Okay. Motion failed. And I would entertain a different motion on this slide.
I make a motion that we look at A but amend it.
You can do anything you want as far as making a new motion. We've already voted on that. We don't have to amend. You can state it as you want to state it.
You're not stuck.
Yeah.
You can make up G.
Okay.
About this, how about I'll promote to remove the urban reserve area or overlay designation from the plan on the south and east side. Specific areas, I can do that. It's got some problems.
Okay. Is this been moved? Do I hear a second?
I second because I want to discuss it.
Correct.
It's been moved and
seconded.
Could you restate it?
For moving the urban reserve overlay on the south borders and east borders. Get more specific lines to change.
Which is essentially E. Somewhat E.
Yeah. Whatever step does not recommend is not.
Well, it is getting specific.
It is getting specific.
And the reasons listed for not getting that specific. Would be what? What did we hear for that?
I just thought that if you wanted
to
get into specifics, I'd like to come up with some sort of scoring matrix, set criteria, so we're not just saying That's too much to use. Would you put out a concern for take the south out? We have reasons and goals behind it. And so we're weighing everything equal.
Should that be where the CSR comes in?
Yes.
Could be.
Here we go. Here's a map that I can zoom in on, if you'd like, the roads.
Everybody clarify my motion, but that's south 38 east.
That must be east.
Yeah, we're discussing it, and just question on process is, the next step, they don't have to do what we want, what we suggest.
Yeah, the board's right.
And they can, and they can also, they don't have to just say yay or nay. They can, on what we suggest, they could come up with, tweak it, right? There is some value in keeping it going.
I have a question, Kathy. Since we're discussing this among ourselves. So you're looking at this map and you're looking at the east side of I-35. You're familiar with that. Do you see the benefit of keeping it paved versus?
Yeah, because there is a lot of good farm ground.
There is a lot of good farm ground. And so north of Verbiel, that's very good farmland as well. And that's part of it, just north of there. Yep. That's also in the overlay. We entertain a motion about the CSR.
We have a motion.
I'm just but, talking about.
Yeah.
No.
But on that motion, I don't know, maybe I can't ask the question. But can you, part of the discussion, if this goes through, you can still go back and get a permit if a urban or business wants to go in to any of those properties, correct?
If it's zoned for that, you can ask. Absolutely. If it's zoned for a commercial use, for a house, yeah, there's no limitations. It's just changing the zoning or dividing the land.
So it's not. For 25 years, it's done.
And zoning does not regulate agriculture. There's no restrictions on agricultural uses.
Right, but if they wanted to put up a commercial business, they would come to you and rezone A1 to commercial.
Yeah,
one
they
or two,
need
whatever.
To do a plan amendment.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
If they have a business, they're going to already have a plan.
Yeah, if there's existing business, it's kind of clear it's done that way, yeah.
But if they wanted to put up a new business, they're going to have to plan on their business anyway first before they come to you, correct? I mean, they're going to know if they're going to have a new business or not.
Mm-hmm.
They got, you know, that's just 5 steps of doing business.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And the same goes with rural subdivisions and the part of that part as well. If someone wants to have a rural subdivision on the east part, they'd have to come to what we have been doing within our planning.
Yes, and again, the difference between Ag Farm Service and Urban Reserve is those rural subdivisions aren't supported in Urban Reserve. You've got to go remove the reserve, go through a separate amendment process to make sure it's not an area that they in conflict with putting that kind of use there first.
That's a separate process to get the subdivision.
Yes.
So it's mild, it's still painful.
So it's less about the agricultural use of the land and more about the
footballs.
I mean, how did it impact the farmland? If it wanted to remain in farmland, would it protect it from being annexed or whatever?
It's not annexed. Change.
Further discussion.
Can you use that?
Taking that as further discussion, by the way.
So how many house lots were up north? You said that one time, didn't you? Oh, where are you?
Yeah, that were available to build on. We have that number that's already.
In the Ames River Trench, yes, there are 60 vacant lots and subdivisions currently. Those, some of those are owned by somebody in the house and owns an adjacent lot, right? So I tried to go through and really tease out who's owned by the adjacent lot owner or who's owned it for a really long time and not built anything on it. I think there's about 11. This does not include Prairie Valley, which is outside of the fringe plan, which is the 70-lot subdivision on 170th, just outside of Gilbert. And that doesn't include acreages or 35-acre parcels that you could build on. Because there's a lot of those, a couple hundred.
Very slow discussion. I'm trying to keep my pace of what and respect everyone's discussion. Okay, it has been.
Removal of the original reserve overlay designation from the plan south of 30 and east of 30.
Okay. Further discussion? So that's what we're discussing is to remove that section from the, yeah, to include it basically up here in order to keep, keeping discussion going. And that's the motion on the floor. Any further discussion? Hearing none, could we have a roll call vote?
Jensen?
Yes.
Jensen?
Yes.
Jens?
Yes.
Moss?
No.
Johnson?
Yes.
Question passed. So that recommendation will be part of what is brought to the Board of Supervisors.
Are you done with that, or are there?
No, that's it.
I
guess we could have another motion on that. So,
But if there's other specifics, you can do them at this time, or I'll go on to the. And you could, if when we're talking about how you want to take action on the urban reserve in the southwest, you could do that. Right?
Okay.
I'm just trying to set it up so it's easy, but up to you. Hopefully these ones are easy. GH and I, again, we're just extending Gilbert's urban growth area, developing a fringe plan, adding a policy about if we're annexing properties in the urban reserve, let's weigh them against how those priority growth areas are developed.
Gilbert's urban growth is the same as Ames. Urban growth is just urban growth, right?
Yep. And then just clarifying that the county, well, if we adopt the plan, we're not agreeing that these areas should be annexed, we still retain review.
Do you want separate motions here?
You can do it all with one if there isn't.
I would entertain a motion.
I would move that we would approve the staff recommendations GH9.
It has been moved. Do I hear a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that we approve staff recommendations GH9. Discussion. Any discussion? It's been moved and seconded. Can we have a roll call vote, please?
Johnson?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Youngkin?
Yes.
Yes. That will be taken to the Board of Supervisors.
Okay, so this is about the Champlin Farm, the Meadow Glen property, in the southwest area of Ames. So again, options are what staff recommend is mapping Meadow Glen as rural residential existing, but either A, still allowing its annexations for a separate map, or B, through a separate policy. That would be broader in terms of we're not, while we're mapping areas as rural residential existing, we're at farm service and saying you're not annexable. If it's not in conformance with state law, then we're not going to, block an annexation. That would otherwise be a plan. That would just, you get what I'm saying. I'm sorry. And then C is we could designate Champlin Farms as urban reserve to show it's not as much of a priority for annexation into the city. That would probably still allow its annexation. So D and E are the options that don't allow annexation of Meadowland or Champlin Farms. Because ag farm service would be over the Champlin Farms property, and so instead of land with the rural residential existing. So that's D. And then E is about writing a policy about configuring an annexation of the area to make sure that it doesn't become an island. Do you want any questions on that?
Please. More questions before we make a motion? Yeah, we're questions to staff. It's not technically the discussion part until we have a motion.
And again, the area west of this into the neighborhood urban reserve to the county plan.
Say again.
The area west of this, the Champlain Farm property, I didn't include the other designations on this map, so west of this is shown as urban reserve right now.
And this was the one that was a strict, like, that.
Strip, yeah.
Okay. There are no more questions. I would entertain a motion. From this slide, we have the slide back again. The options.
Yeah.
So the public can see what.
And then just to clarify, which is previous motion, south of 30 and east of 35, this didn't even include this area. It doesn't mean in the urban reserve, right?
What?
No!
You said east of 35. I just want to make sure.
Everything south of
30. Everything south of 30? Okay, so we'll redo that motion. And did you mean to include this in the
yeah.
urban growth? Yeah. But you didn't want to include the urban growth area.
Yeah, top urban growth.
Right.
Just not the urban. Just the urban research.
Okay.
So really we've already moved on.
Well, she wants us to come back and clarify that. It wasn't just the southeast, it was everything south and
we'll come back to that.
Okay. So are we back to discussion of these? Any more questions of staff? Then I would entertain a motion.
What option B?
Okay, it has been moved that we go with designating Meadow Plan as rural residential existing and in lieu of a secondary annexable lands map, add a policy to the annexation section of the plan that recognizes that certain properties, while not designated as urban growth or urban reserve, nor intended for redevelopment and city growth, may need to be annexed to create more uniform city boundaries, efficient service delivery, and meet state law requirements for the configuration of annexations. Was it seconded? It's been moved. Do I hear a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. So now discussion on
the yeah.
on
One gentleman, I want them to know that they've been hurt. And one gentleman asked if they could short pull the pants, who would they like? Is this appropriate or not? What you, we can discuss it. They requested it, so.
This is our discussion time. We're discussing among ourselves with them as an audience, and so that would be them participating. Which has been I'm going to say no.
Okay. I don't plan as a residential as this thing is secondary. Okay, so this would be in regarding like Iowa State land. It's just Meadow Glen and Champlain Farms. That's it.
It's not
but
changing.
It does not change
Champlain Farms for growth.
coming up against the fact that it does have to meet state law requirements too. And I think the motion recognizes that.
Questions? All right. On this one, if Chamber of Farms doesn't change from urban growth to something else, this makes sense to do. Thought of the extra annexable map, and this kind of has to happen if Champion stays urban through roads. So I could see part of our discussion of I'll put this down, or who gets this for now, but we might have to come back to it if we don't get something changed on the Champion Farms. Sense.
And your reason for voting is something?
Because I'd like to know if we want to change Chamber of Farms to preserve or ag. Because if Chamber goes over girls gets annexed, then this.
Right, then it leaves Meadow Glen as a
priority. You have to do that. So.
Right.
Are we proposing an amendment?
No.
Okay.
I'm just saying that that's. Vote, but right, conversation on Chamber of Farms is
would there be an amendment that would there be an amendment
so
that would take that into consideration?
That would be a policy applicable if you all do not otherwise motion to change the designation of that would be the amendment.
Okay. I should move to make that amendment, or should this person make that?
No, you.
All right, I would move that we amend the initial motion to say pending no changes, or assuming Champion Farms stays urban growth, that we would then designate Meadow Glen as rural residential existing and have the stipulations that allow to annexation to form code.
Has that been moved that we amend it to that? Do I hear a second on the amendment? We discuss it after it's passed, so it's been moved and seconded for the amendment.
Right.
Okay. Can you read it like how you would like to have it set?
Yep. If Champion Farms remains urban growth, then designate Meadow Glen as for residential and everything else that's in that.
So designating Meadow Glen then as rural residential existing.
Stipulations. It's basically a
basically a contingency plan, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Correct. That's clear enough for everybody.
If
we change what happens, if we change, if Chamber of Farms changes from urban growth to something else,
right,
then it would not matter. Because if it doesn't ever get annexed, then Meadow Glen will never get annexed. So it would just exist how it is today.
So essentially, the amendment just says B, but if this doesn't happen, then it's...
Correct. It's basically the same. Yeah. It's more or less saying we're all going to pull them off if Chamber of Farms ever got annexed, then Meadow Glen has to be annexed. So,
any discussion on the amendment?
So, in that case, I'm okay with that. That works.
Because otherwise it would fall apart.
The initial, it's worth it, wouldn't matter.
So we're in the process right now of discussing the amendment. And if it doesn't pass, we're back to discussing the original. If it does pass, we're back to discussing the original with the amendment. So any further discussion on the amendment? Okay. Hearing none, we have a roll call vote on the amendment.
Johnson?
Yes.
Kielman?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Benz?
Yes.
Ben Moss?
Yes. Okay, the amendment passed, and so now we are left to discuss the motion as a whole containing the amendment. So, any further discussion?
Discussion or waxing the motion?
We're back to the original motion with the amendment tacked on. Discussion about it. Because we were in the middle of discussion and then we have to take care of the amendment. So, any further discussion? Hearing that? None. Could we have a roll call vote?
Johnson?
Yes.
Youngkin?
Yes.
Moss?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Simmons?
Yes.
So now, if you'd like to discuss redesignating the Champlin property, you can.
That's the next. It's not on there.
Yeah.
So we have a motion to discuss this.
All right, but I'll move to de-designate property west of Oakland as adding Department of Services. Oakland as rural residential existing.
So that was the motion?
That was the motion.
Okay. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Been moved and seconded that we recommend to the Board of Supervisors the designating the property to the west of Meadow Glen Champlain Farms, I'm pronouncing it right, as agriculture and farm service and Meadow Glen as rural residential existing, or as urban reserved, but not allowing its annexation. Any discussion? Move to second.
I think I have a hard time with this property. It's just maybe a little spot and it's affecting more people than it because of how isolated Middleton is. There's plans to develop it. There are more plans to develop it to make them go back through a process of changing the French plan. Seems reasonable. So the current owner doesn't have opposition to keep it ag that we know of.
Just to clarify, Ben's motion for second was to designate it as ag farm service and that one is rural residential existing. That's mostly deep, but not for an urban reserve. That part wasn't safe.
Okay.
And I think that was on so, good
so I misstated when trying, but the motion would be that is on the floor that is being discussed is designating the property to the west of Meadow Glen as agriculture and farm service and Meadow Glen as rural residential existing.
Right. Period. Period.
My apologies. Any further discussion? May we have a roll call vote, please?
Johnson?
Yes.
Yes.
Duncan?
Yes.
Ben?
Yes.
No. Yes. Did we make it impossible to do something? Okay.
Or just restate two motions.
Did the last two motions not go together?
No. Oh, man.
Well, this is the first motion.
The first motion, what I wrote down, was south and east, south of Highway 30 and east of 35.
She's
and east.
Just a small portion.
Right. But Ben may have, Ben meant but south of 30.
Did you make the motion?
I did. Yes,
Ben.
Just redo it.
Redo. Yep. Okay, so I move that we remove the urban reserve overlay designation for the plan and maintain the areas mapped as such as agricultural farm services containing everything south of Highway 30, the P area, and also everything east of 35.
Got it.
So in addition, not
yeah.
Is this a new motion?
Yes.
Okay.
But it's not addressing
that we have to get a second here. Okay. To open up discussion.
Okay.
It has been moved. I'm not going to restate it. Would you restate it?
Yes. Remove the urban reserve overlay designation to plan and maintain areas mapped as such as agricultural and farm services for everything south of Highway 30, in addition to everything east of Interstate 35.
I have to say east because that's everything south of South Pine.
No, it's north.
So along the street.
Yeah.
So
that's
north. What? Yes.
So,
what Ben's saying is everything.
Yes.
South of the east of this area. So all of this. The original motion only stated this square here. This is what the original motion stated. But it was south and east of.
Rather than
right.
Okay.
Just clarifying.
It has been moved. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. So open for discussion.
So we're talking about the big L, correct? That big L.
On the outside.
Yeah.
Everything.
Everything.
The Iowa State.
Yeah, everything south of Surrey.
Okay.
I scroll the one down south of there. There's a lot of, yeah, we see it off of Cedar Lane and Dominique and the other one called Ansley Ames. There's a lot of growth down there. That might be already be annexed in the city. That might already be city. But you're straight shaking your head, yes. Okay.
Oops. I meant to draw a straight line.
That's we get it.
There we go.
Well, there we go.
There.
Yes.
That's interesting.
Questions? Did the other passed, right? Whenever we considered it that order.
Just include that again.
Yeah. So, but now we don't have an option with this motion of just voting on that
where we're past that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. I thought it was concluded. Any further discussion? It's discussion time now.
Okay, when I look at this map, and you're going to take all that out, so when, as a developer, and you're looking at this, where would you be building?
It's been going north for a long time.
So it would continue to go north. If you were a developer, and you look at this and say, okay, the urban fringe is up there. This is where Angel wants to grow, is north. Which I haven't seen the sprawl north. I'm living through the sprawl in the north. We don't want sprawl. No one wants sprawl. We all want effective, logical growth. Does this help with that plan, be effective and logical? If we take all of that into a...
It basically makes it harder to annex and more likely to be aligned with our current agricultural zoning stuff.
Any further discussion?
Can I ask another
question? I don't know, it's going to pass our own.
Can I ask you something? Sure, thank you. So if we take this section out, and I'm seeing, you have told me that the Ames Urban Reserve does give some protection with rural subdivisions.
Yeah.
And if we take that whole L out, the rural subdivisions might just continue sprawling in that section. Now, the northern part would be protected because you still have the overlay, but the southeast and the northeast, what is protecting that valuable farmland from not getting gobbled up by rural residential?
Got a process standard for when you can map that. Not being on a gravel road or paving, being adjacent to existing rural residential development.
The CSR scores on that in place as well?
For the rezoning, yes. Rezoning, yeah. They have a higher thesis score because of that redesignation, so it make it harder to rezone them after. No, it wouldn't have impacted actually.
Any further discussion?
Yeah, I'm not opposed to everything east of highway. Okay, I-8 of 35. Because I just don't. These aren't grow so much out there.
Yeah.
And but the south part and the sprawling that I see and the north part, if we take that out, what's going to keep them from not going to Kelly, not going to Slater? Just keep on going back.
I don't know.
This is the L and the urban reserve, so.
There was confusion about the area involved. It's like putting the two directions.
But if there was a confusion, then just call it. Yeah, sure. Yeah,
I
mean,
all right. Discussion about the urban sprawl.
Oh, I see protection with the urban fringe. I see protection with the reserve.
Yes.
But how can we keep Meadow Glen? Well, this is
You can since there's a motion on the floor, if you want to amend it, you can try. It would have to be amended and seconded and vote on the amendment and then back to the original motion.
Well, we have a roll call vote, please. Ben, would you mind restating the motion?
Yep.
Thank you.
Removal of urban reserve overlay designation from the plan that has maintained the areas as such as agricultural and farm services for everything south of Highway 30, as well as everything east of I-35, as shown on the map that we're looking at currently. Circled in red.
Okay.
Yes.
Duncan?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Moss?
No. Right, motion is passed.
Okay. So, first thing, and it's not, now it's broader. Champlain Meadowland is just putting a policy in about when environmentally sensitive areas are supposed to be annexed, you know, making sure that the county is specifically reviewing that.
That's what's up here now. And does that include specifics on, like, it goes to Story County Conservation or something like that?
Yeah, we would like to create a policy so that we can ask them to review it, or we're working on new natural resources ordinances ourselves so we can recommend something.
So it's somewhat more
broad.
It's broad, but there would be policies that would narrow it down that would be transparent. Any questions of Amelia, the staff of this? Hearing none, I would entertain a motion.
I'm not sure the staff's recommendations.
Okay. It's been moved. It's been moved and seconded that we do reviewing policies in the AIM urban fringe plans for environmentally sensitive area protections and how they may apply to developments in city limits. Discussion. No, it's all of them. I mean, in my opinion, here and there and everywhere. As far as, I mean, yeah. Even my understanding is that there are protections even if it's annexed or changed. No? There are oversight for a...
There's a process for the county in when we're reviewing an annexation beyond making sure that there's a designation that conforms with the fringe plan. If there's natural areas, also including in our resolution or action, acknowledgement of those areas and suggestions for protecting them for development.
Okay. Yeah, just suggestions. Any further discussion? Hearing none, could we have a roll call vote, please?
Johnson?
Yes.
Duncan?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yep.
Menz?
Yes.
Moss?
Yes.
Okay. Conditional uses. So, again, we're recommending removing tenant rectus incompatible use from the list that appears in the plan. Clarifying the event venues were the concern, but also making sure that we're just creating instead of just allowing them uniform policies for the size of events, traffic, that not completely disallowing them, but coming up with uniform supplement standards that apply to everyone. Not just trying to set things up. We're also recommending introducing a process, a conditional use permit process. If this creates a non-conforming use, that there's a process someone can go through to expand that use step and rebuild. We're also, based on your recommendations from last time, recommending removing lots of fraternal organizations, indoor recreational facilities. And if you have other suggestions, I'll go flip to the list real quick and you can add them into the seat.
So the staff recommendation is to do
A through D.
A through D.
And if you make a motion of A through D and would like to include additional uses, use the list and put them under C.
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 Okay.
Let's get clear.
So we're at the point of asking questions, right? We haven't got a motion.
I make a motion that we discuss A, B, C, and D and discuss what's on the screen.
No, we need a motion that we do something with. By making a motion, you're not tying your hands. We just can't have the discussion until we have a motion.
Right? We have a discussion. Sorry,
I'll move
that. Marcus, did you have clarification?
Thank God.
I'll move that we remove the strategy from the plan.
The strategy.
Remove the strategy.
E.
E. Okay, it has been moved that we remove the strategy from the plan. Do I hear a second?
So, okay. I said that just because A through D don't matter if you E mainly. So we get into specifics if you want to. That's much more transparent process. Maybe we can get more specific on the ones. So if we're able to shrink the reserve area, we already have this additional use plan to have an extra layer of urban growth reserve overlay areas. Doesn't seem like it's necessary.
Yeah,
we're not conditional use plan. We're supposed to be approved. It's not something that.
Further discussion.
I don't mean to just always do what the staff doesn't recommend, but just have this happen tonight.
So you're saying that there are already limits on these things by the conditional use.
It's not on there, so it would be okay, right? To have an event.
The motion is there'd be nothing on it.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
This would be wrong condition.
Yes. Would this, even with conditional use, it would be before things kick in, but then it would be in place when, say, if someone did get
salvage yard, and it was allowed by the conditional use permit, then what would be the ramifications when it came to the fringe plan kicking in some annexations? What would happen then with that? Would we just annex around the salvage yard?
Do you have a county conditional use permit annexed by the city? Conditions? Is not conforming, still allowed, just
so the wind farm would still be on the edge of the
state probably just looks.
But if a tornado took out that wind farm, could it?
If it was
not conforming,
so they can't even build it. But, yeah.
After interstation, I believe that was the last time.
Here we go. Special use permit so approved by this group.
You make recommendation to Board of Adjustment. And Board of Adjustment approves.
There's
standards. Yes.
Neighbors' comments, all kinds of things. That, so it's still a process, it can still be denied.
Yeah.
It's not agreeing to eliminate with this.
Yeah, I think they're.
And the likelihood is that.
Any further discussion? Okay. Hearing none, we have a roll call vote.
Jensen?
Yes.
Young?
No.
Johnston?
Yes.
Benz?
Yep.
And Moss?
No.
Decisions. This is giving you the option to allow reductions in lot sizes for acreage or other purposes in the Ag Farm Service and Herb Reserve overlays, or you could move to allow further divisions in those designations. And in addition, we would recommend adding an implementation strategy to plans to consider allowing second dwellings on parcels for accessory dwelling units. Let's see.
The C is part of the fringe plan, or is it a separate thing that is just?
It's separate, kind of like conditional uses work. Where after the plan's adopted, it'd be an amendment to the code that staff would undertake. But it's important when we undertake those amendments that we get direction from somewhere, and that this is where it would come from. Also been on my work program for a while, but hasn't been the highest priority item, so if it was in the implementation strategy of a plan, it would move it up for next year in terms of priority on our work program.
This is really kind of those relatives wanting to have it.
Yep.
I don't want to use any of the stereotype
names
for those. But.
Yeah, we get a lot of requests for these. I honestly have a list going of people to call when the amendment is proposed who are interested in this who want to come talk on it.
So does it really have an impact on the urban fringe plan? Or just as a...
No, it's just, you know, if we're going to disallow the vision in these two designations, it's something
kind of it's a way to allow for something because certain things are being
removed. It's additional flexibility.
Can't we combine A and C?
Yeah.
Just out of curiosity, with this, if I were to go on my property and decide I want to tear down my house to build a new one,
yeah.
On a different location, is that
completely separate of this.
Yeah, okay. That's done. Yes. That'd be allowed. So.
Thank you.
This is county right. This is not just for the reserve, correct?
It's just in the French plan.
It's just in the French plan.
In the urban reserve and ag farm service designation, stop the French
plan. Perhaps we could revisit it to involve the county so that Dalton could do what he does.
Oh, Dalton, yeah. He can do it. Do it south of Rowland.
Or he's Rowland.
Should we get that into the list? Yeah, okay. Any other questions? I would. No, okay. I would entertain a motion.
I'll move that we go with options A and C.
It's been moved. Do I hear a second? It's been moved and seconded. That we and correct me if I'm mistaken, simplifying the policy for divisions, reducing lot sizes in the agriculture and farm service designation, and adopting the same policy in the urban reserve overlay as follows. Divisions for the creation of new development lots are not permitted. Parcels with existing dwellings or parcels on which a dwelling may be constructed may be divided once for the purpose of reducing their size to a minimum of 1 and maximum 5 net acres if permitted by county zoning requirements, such as through farmstead, LESA, or residential parcel subdivision exceptions. The remaining land shall not be considered buildable for a dwelling and preserved as an outlot through a deed or by other restriction, and adding an additional implementation strategy for the county to consider allowing accessory dwelling units or second dwellings on parcels with an existing dwelling. Discussion. I hear none. Okay. May we have a vote?
Johnson?
Yes.
Yes. Johnson?
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. This is about the designation that allows new subdivisions. We are recommending, as staff, removing several of the restrictions that were proposed in the draft plan, limiting the amount of land that could be requested to TMF to 40 acres. We're proposing to strike that, and we're proposing to strike the number of times per year that the cooperators could hear an amendment to match this designation. That's B. Another option that was discussed was removing the reference to the need for 60 lots as a target, and that's a policy consideration.
Any questions of staff?
Is there other spots where we have a number randomly as a target and not as a rule, or do those tend to become the rule, the number or something?
No, I think again it relates back to our housing study targets and then the county's policies in the C2C plan.
Stated in the C2C, just not exactly 60.
Yeah, locate proposed subdivisions on a case by case basis. There's another strategy to investigate or implement density-based zoning. So,
it's a number that we're really maybe not going to reference, but just have a hard time believing that once we get to lot number 61, that person told, well, hey, it was supposed to be 60, and all of a sudden that number becomes essentially law and now, but for discussing now. So.
Without it, the plan would read consider the amount of previously approved lots.
Yeah. I feel like just as better to be making that situations.
And then the number would come up?
Yeah.
No.
So the math is just says so based on the.
Yeah. The math exists.
Okay. Any.
So does this mean that if you can put a house on, just one house on less than 40 acres, is that changing that law in the county?
No. This is if you want to put more than one house.
More than one house, okay.
What's appropriate.
So we can't have houses every 10 acres in Story County. I mean, I know some counties that I have been driving through that they do not have a rule like Story County does, the 35 acres of rural. Yeah. But they have houses absolutely everywhere out in the country.
Yeah.
And I can see where that's a disaster. So,
yeah.
I like that law, our rule.
So this is looking at Cameron State or Prairie Valley types of subdivisions. And coming up with standards for where they're appropriate to be mapped and how many we need. So even denser than what you see.
Any further questions?
I'm wondering if this if that rural subdivision and according to the land use frame map. Another division in the country could come up to it, correct?
So that's how we would allow that.
Yes. And so this is saying that it could be 20 acres, it could be 30 acres, correct? Not just 40.
It's saying we could have multiple houses in different parcels. And so what the standards for when it's okay to have that level of density. And then
up against a rural subdivision, how much density is going to come up next to another rural subdivision?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
This affects us.
Any further questions? Let's start. I would entertain a motion on the rural residential expansion suggestion recommendation. I'm not hearing a motion. Amelia, can we? Okay.
I can move to A and B, which is that recommendation.
Okay, it's been moved. I hear a second? It's been moved and seconded that we removing the limitation on the amount of land, which is 40 acres, that can be requested to be amended to rural residential expansion through an individual land use framework map amendment request. And an additional option would be removing the restriction on the number of times per year that cooperators hear amendment requests and clarifying the process to request an amendment to the rural residential expansion designation for properties in the urban reserve overlay. Discussion.
I personally think limits are good, and I think removing the limitation is going to put a lot more congestion in the rural areas where there are new rural subdivisions. You have 40 acres, 30 acres, 20 acres, and you cram those houses in there. And one acre lots.
So it's becoming not really rural.
Correct. It's not. And it's what I'm saying is speeding up
really valuable farmland, and the county can't say no because it's part of the individual land use framework. Hey, if a rural subdivision, if someone wants to come in and put up against another one, yes, we can do that. I don't think we have a say. Allow it to happen.
If it's mapped that way, yeah.
If it's mapped like that, I'm not opposed to the number of times per year of cooperatives here, amendment requests. I'm just concerned about the amount of sprawl that I see out of my area with the rural subdivision and another one coming, and then another one coming. I just want it to roll up to Loon County line. That's what I see. Because it's are you suggesting an amendment or just telling the vote?
I won't make an amendment to keep that limitation. I think it's a good limitation, personally.
So did you say you did that? I did not, but I could. Could I put an amendment to You can amend.
That
be a separate
motion.
Okay. We're
discussing it. So we're to move it
from the board down. I think that amendment is reasonable from what I see out of my area. Okay.
So just to restate, though, Ben didn't make a motion about C
yet. No. No.
We're not quite there.
Well, she's reading A as a, but your motion was A as correct. Correct.
So again, A is allowing larger areas of land to be requested to be amended. It has nothing to do with the amount of houses on there. It's just allowing larger areas of land to be requested to be amended so that there's some flexibility in design to work around natural areas or grass waterways so that I'm not limiting someone just to 40 acres and really the more buildable piece goes.
So they could have been part of a smaller part to avoid the wetlands or whatever.
But, yeah. I think what you're concerned, Debbie, is the C, which is the actual limit on the number of new lots that can be proposed, right? Okay.
Yeah. The limitation of land, that's not a big
concern. So if they want to enact something that's next to another rural subdivision, but they might have a wetland in it. So they have 40 acres, but there's a wetland in it. So they could, if this is what I'm reading correctly, then that 20 acres could be made into
boom lots.
The concern is that if you have 40 acres, let's say you have 80 acres, and it's in two pieces. And one 40-acre piece, or there's a wetland downhill on it, right? And we're only allowing you to amend 40 acres at a time. That's going to push someone to want to build on wetland to get that density they need to get
40 acres.
Right. So if we're opening it up to the 80 acres, we could have more flexibility in design, cluster the lots together to get the same amount of lots they would have wanted on the 40. Does that make sense?
But you can't build on the 40, correct? I don't know.
No. We're working on that.
So we do have a motion, second on the floor. Any further discussion?
A and B, correct?
Yes. Okay. Could we have a roll call vote, please?
Johnson?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. And while we're here, I'll need to reference to number of lots in the rural residential spatial designation. Need an earth plan.
I hear a second. It's been moved and seconded that we remove the reference to the number of new lots in the rural residential expansion designation needed during the life of the plan, 60 over the next 20 years.
I think we care just to go through the number, and I think that we're all aware of the pressure of expanding residential and all that. So I think will be forgotten whether it's number 60 or not. So I'm not going to put the number. That's all that. Can we say, I don't think there's going to be a lot of need to discuss here, but
I did think from the
example. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So typically in comprehensive plans or future land use plans, there are targets for population growth. So, in, you know, Gilbert's comprehensive plan, they do target a certain level of population growth, 1.5% annually. That does translate into a number of housing units. So it is typical in a comprehensive plan to have some projection of growth. It's not necessarily the policy, but this is, you know, part of future land use plan, part of policy.
Was that typically seen in a constricting way or in a
in a goal. And this is a goal. I'm not a goal that's it's 60, a goal that's it, a limit to 60.
Yep.
Any further discussion? Right? Could we have a roll call vote, please?
Johnson?
Yes.
Johnson? No. Benz? Yes. Duncan?
Yes.
Moss?
No.
Was it
correct?
Yes.
Debbie,
you voted no, right?
Yes.
Yes.
I voted yes.
Just other items to address. Making sure we're mapping areas that are within 2 miles, allowing for flexibility for reducing the lot size of commercial land, and just being aware that we need to take another look at our supplemental standards for conditional uses for mining operations. But if we're not taking a look at conditional uses at all, you don't need to.
Questions of staff were any questions, and then we'll end the motion.
I definitely recommend the motion on the first two.
I would entertain a motion.
I move that we approve A and B, amending the 2 mile area to not include parcels outside of it, and surprise B, say it, or A.
You know, I'm going to say it again.
You read it all.
That's it. It's been moved and seconded that we remove the error of the parcels outside of Ames 2 mile review area and recommend allowing reconfiguration or division of land in the agriculture and farm service designation and urban reserve overlay for commercial or conditional uses. No new development lots could be created for additional commercial or conditional uses. However, allowing divisions to reduce the size of a parcel could result in a better site design, as staff would have an additional review of the proposal. In the urban reserve overlay, the applicable city would have joint review authority over these divisions to ensure compatibility with future city growth. It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, I'll have a roll call vote, please.
Johnson?
Yes.
Johnston?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. And that wraps up. We're down to 8 comments from the staff.
Yes.
On other.
So things. Next meeting, September 5th. Anticipate having maybe one case and then doing an in-depth training about different things here, cases that come for you, procedure, contact outside of meetings, all that. So, should be about 45 minutes. So, if you've got questions on this topic, something you want to specifically cover, feel free to shoot me an email. We'll make some.
Any commission comments? Thank you for all your work, staff, and thank you for the public comments.
Yeah, really appreciate all that. I think one thing, conditional use that we're looking just separately from is that allowing expansion or construction of non-conforming use. Have a separate deal that we had talked about in the past. It has been coming back to us a bit.
Set on the works.
Okay. On our work program. Got it.
I attended the Surrey County Economic Development Group meeting in Cambridge on July 21st. An opportunity to get all the small towns in the area, all the towns together to talk about their plan and what they've done in economic growth. I think a beneficial meeting in a group. And Cheryl and I and Ben were able to go to the workshop for planning and zoning May 31st in San Jackson. That was very beneficial as well. Great. Well, thank you for allowing us the opportunity.
Yeah.
To
for the comments, this meeting is adjourned.
Oh, wait.